Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. So welcome. How are you? You want to call in and get a reading at no cost to you? Give us a call, 646 721-9031. If you want to get a private reading, which when we say private readings, we're talking about private sessions with me. We're also talking about sessions that you will pay for. And how it goes is you just give me a call at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And we set up a session. We do all kinds of readings, and right now, until after the first of the year, all readings are only a dollar a minute. Even our 90-minute sessions are also a dollar a minute, too, as well. So give us a call. But we just wanted to explain to everybody, in the ideal situations when we're on the show, you can call in and get a reading. No mini reading, no couple questions, but a reading. So therefore, focus. You're going to bring it to the situation of what you want us to focus in on, and we'll do it for you. Okay, well, the situation, if you want to do a private reading, then you give me a call at my private number at 740-500-8863 or through my website, which gives you an idea of exactly all the things that I do, because we actually do readings, life coaching, relationship counseling. We do parties. We also do group readings. We do one-on-one. We work with children with special gifts, and we also work with adults, too, as well, and in the pursuit of strengthening their gifts, too, as well. So if you're interested in any of those things, all these sessions until the first year are only a dollar a minute. So give us a call, 740-500-8863. If you want to get a reading now, please call us at 646-721-9031. And we're going to sit here and have a great time, hopefully. Of course we are. So I'll be positive. That's what it's all about, right? And in the chat room, you are allowed to ask questions. But we prefer if you want to get a reading itself, call in. But if you have a couple of questions you want to throw in the chat room, please do so. And we'll answer those for you, too. All right, so if anybody wants to call in, 646-721-9031, get a reading now, please do so. In the process of the situation, we all have some fun. One thing we usually talk about a lot is the ideal of the relationships and that kind of stuff, which I think are crucially important. I guess it's the idea of helping people understand about relationships, is to understand that the people we manifest in our lives, we draw into our lives, attract in our lives, we draw them into our lives. We manifest them. And they're physical representations, you know. They're physical manifestations representing how we feel about ourselves at the time that we bring each other into our lives. And the idea of relationships can be tricky in the situation because it's not like manifesting a car when you can just focus on the situation. The car is not going to argue with you. It's not going to fight you. It's not going to listen to its own feelings and how it feels about you. So it's easy on those situations, manifesting all those things as well. But in the process of manifesting relationships, it's the ideal of honoring completely, accepting, and embracing when you do manifest a relationship and a person, and to realize that the reason that person is in your life because you wanted him in your life. You sent the intentions out there saying, I want to be in a relationship. I'm ready to face the fears that I feel like I have that keeps me from having a good relationship because I'm ready for that good relationship. So I'm ready to confront those fears. And that's how it works. So we can also just say, you know, it's complicated. It's not complicated. It's the idea of looking at the situation just like through your eyes. Not the world. Not what everybody says. And it's like the ideal of women, you know, get with it. And men as well. And stop listening to your friends and what you should do. And start making decisions for your own life. Start taking 100% accountability for your life. And then also look at yourself, you're not in the idea of guilt, and say, okay, I pushed this person away. It's the idea of simply asking yourself, why did you do that? Why did you push them away? Why did you sit there and smack them away? And then you look at the situation and go, okay, there were certain bad things that happened in my life. Well, when you push somebody away, you actually open a space. Also, when you push somebody away, you're not confronting those fears that you basically said to the universe you were ready to confront. If you don't face your fears and you feed into them, they have a tendency to manifest in reality. And then pushing somebody away also gives them the space to unfold. So it's up to you, because I guarantee in the idea of facing those fears, you're probably going to be a little bit more happier. It might not be the easy thing to do, but it's not impossible either to realize, especially when I've heard this before with the readings that I do, of people talking about certain things, that everybody's trying to figure out everybody else, not realizing that it's not your job to figure them out. And trying to figure them out is not going to give you the answers you're looking for, because everybody I've ever talked to in the process of trying to figure out, okay, his actions contradict what I feel. Okay, what you need to do is pay attention to the feelings, because those are real. The actions that contradict it in those cases is a person making excuses to keep himself from where he really wants to be at. So with knowing that, you can also use that as leverage to tell the person to get their head out of their ass and say, okay, this is the way it works, my friend. If you didn't want this relationship, and this happens a lot with the guys, I don't know what I want. Yeah, you do. Because if you didn't, then it wouldn't be happening. If you're facing each other face-to-face, even having this conversation with a person, saying, I don't know what I want. I don't know if I want to be in a relationship. Look him right in the face and say, you are so full of shit. I want you to stop lying to yourself, because I know you're lying to yourself because you're lying to me. And when you lie to yourself, that's all you can do is lie to everybody else. If you're a person that's wearing masks, you're lying to people. And if you have a mask for anything, then there's a sense within yourself that you feel like you need to not be yourself to get a positive outcome. Okay? If you're not happy with your job, you can see it right there. By wearing this mask and pretending otherwise, you're lying to yourself. And I'm pretty sure if your boss or anybody you're working with says you love your job, you're lying to them too as well. And yet we've had the situation where people are like, I like my part of my job, but I don't like the other part. Well, the part that you don't like, sooner or later, is going to be bringing more frustration in your life because you're not totally happy and you're not totally being honest with yourself. And the idea of pursuing who you love also has a tendency to bring out what you love to do and what you really want to do with your life. So you can see that a life partner can also point in the right direction of your life path. Or even the idea of focusing on your life path could also bring around your life partner. So you see, in the process of pursuing, forget it. It's the idea of allowing and letting your guides and angels do what they were there in the first place, in the process of guiding you in the right direction, guiding you to follow through with the promptings and things that go like that. Then you'll see that life can be very simple. The only reason you're struggling in your life is because that's what you've chosen to do. That's what you've chosen to feed into. That's what you've chosen to see as your reality. But with the situation that we actually create our own reality, you can also look at the situations of people not. I guess when I do readings, I'm not pointing out and saying, well, it's your fault. I'm just giving you a place to start and say, okay, if I created this life that I'm not happy with, I can also create one that I do. It's just the idea of telling myself that I deserve it. You know, do a little meditation and it says, hey, I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. And say it over and over again. I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. And as soon as you said it enough where it resonates with you, then say, so it, and so it is. Connect with yourself. That's how it usually works first, and the idea of actually listening to your guides and angels, connect with yourself. Just bow your head, focus on the space behind your heart, try to go within yourself as much as you can, and be there. And then say to yourself, I am love. Say it over and over. You will definitely see, you will definitely feel within yourself, I am love, I am love, I am love, I am love. Love will attract everything you want, need, desire to you. So therefore what it says, every good thing you desire will come to you. If it doesn't come to you, it doesn't mean it's never going to come to you. It just means that moment is not good for you. So therefore the only way it's ever going to be good for you is to completely let it go and allow the universe to work with the person, the situations, and the idea of bringing about positive solutions, positive outcome, and positive changes. Okay, guys, if you want to get a reading, please give us a call here at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. I have some friends that said they were going to call in. I don't see anybody yet. So please give us a call. I'd love for you, because it's called Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio with your host, Psychic X Journeyman, that's me. And it's a spiritually based show, so therefore call in with your spiritually based opinions. We'd love to hear them. Talk about the situation. What do you feel about a relationship? Okay, because I've heard too many people say, hey, you know, and you're like, okay, why are you trying to convince me that's how it is? Why do you feel like you need to convince me of anything otherwise? Because, you know, in the situation of people being very strong within their beliefs and their knowingness, maybe you should ask yourself, yeah, why am I trying to convince this person? Or am I really trying to convince me? And let's say Nietzsche and every person that's listening out there, I'd love to sit down and do a private reading with you. Private readings usually go $125 for a 75-minute reading, $100 for a 45-minute reading, and I think it's $55 for a 25-minute reading. Also, our 90-minute sessions go for $135 a reading. But until after the first of the year, now you can get all those readings for only a dollar a minute. That's right, guys. I did say a dollar a minute, which is uncalled for because the idea of the situation, that's a heck of a deal. Heck of a way of actually getting the answers that you seek for the questions that you want to ask. And we have the answers for you. So therefore, come to us and let's all sit down while it's still only a dollar a minute. Any session, any variation, even if it's only 10 minutes, 10 minutes, $10. Okay, if you're a person who's actually on a certain kind of budget, and maybe you're still having some problems with the whole thing too as well, give us a call at 740-500-8863. Whatever your budget is, whatever you come to, at least just give me a call and say, this is what I have to work with, and this is what I would like to have. You might be surprised. It's one of those things of learning, teaching people that in the process of manifesting things, you might just get exactly what you want. But you got to ask. And you can't get what you ask for. All right, so therefore give us a call, 740-500-8863, or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Get an idea of variation of what we do. We also do email readings. Email readings, I think, is it 5 questions? 7 cards, I think. $55. It's an email reading. All the information is there. All you got to do is just send us an email and we'll answer this for you. Give you 7 cards that will give you all the details and insights that you want and direction. So give us a call. Love to sit down and work with each and every one of you good folks. So please, can't do it unless you call. We'd love to work with you. But now you can actually get an idea of what it's all about when we do readings, because we actually do full readings on the show. So give us a call, 646-721-9031 for the readings that we're doing on the show tonight. Focus on one subject. If it's a relationship, let's focus and get as much detail we can within that relationship. Give you some information, give you some good insights so you can actually make a better choice and what direction you're going to go into. All right. Check in the chat room. I was here going over the whole thing too. MO Rose 7, call in. Let's talk about the ideal. The number for this year is 9. 9 is the ideal. 8 is completion of one cycle. Completion of one cycle, and then 9 is basically the ideal of light workers. It's time And it's the idea of stop procrastinating. Let's just get things going. Okay?
Yeah, actually. Mm-hmm. What did I do with it?
Well, I have my angel book here somewhere.
There we go.
Here's the thing I was talking about to you earlier, to you. If you're in a relationship and you all want to focus on the damn freaking thing about astrology, get over it. If you want to focus on the situation and making positive changes in your life, stop focusing on the negatives. Like I was here and look at the situation of a Taurus. A Taurus is dependable, patient, sensuality, strength, loyalty, sensibility, responsibility, and determination. Focus on the positive, okay? Sure, they can be stubborn. But the idea of looking at the positive of the situation, of having a person being three-dimensional, it's the idea of being stubborn, focused, and headstrong, to be dependable, to be patient, to be sensuality, or focus on your sensuality, strength, loyalty, sensibility, responsibility, and determination. So you can look at the situation, okay? Stubbornness and headstrong helps him to actually really focus, or she, if they use it right. You can see how the bad traits and the negative traits, when there's balance between the two, it can actually make a very strong person, very dependable, very insightful. And with that kind of qualifications, I think we could look at the situation of people having good relationships because they have a good foundation within themselves. So it's easy to have two people coming together with the same kind of identical foundation, creating a very, very strong foundation within a relationship. But everybody's always looking at the situation of going, you know, can two certain types of signs actually be in a good relationship, not realizing it has nothing to do with it. They're just blueprints. There's blueprints everywhere. Blueprints have never built anything. Blueprints are just outlines for us to create. We have the idea of that foundation and that blueprint working together, because we look at the situation of a house. We've done this before. The other thing, we have a blueprint of a house. What's the very first thing you're going to do when you build that house? It's the same thing you're going to do with the situation of being in a relationship. You're going to build a foundation. So what you should do is you should work on the blueprint within yourself. Get your foundation as strong as possible. How do you do that? Focus on your life. Focus on your priorities. Focus on your goals. Focus on your wants, needs, and desires. And then tell yourself, I'm declaring from this day forward, happiness. Whatever doesn't contribute to my happiness gets cut and cleared from my life in favor of the choice I made to be happy. That's what we call about certain infractions and certain things that have to be let go of. Because, you know, your perceptions of what you had yesterday are still in some ways manifesting. Okay, in order to keep those things keep manifesting and keep repeating the pattern, we need to change our perception today so we'll have a better tomorrow. Okay, it's not like a radio. It sounds like a freaking television show for a better tomorrow. But it's the truth. So it's the ideal of looking at the situation. How can we let go of being headstrong or being stubborn? By focusing on the positive, you know? Being stubborn. The opposite of stubborn is cooperating. Cooperation. So what we do is we focus on cooperation. In the process of focusing on cooperation, we made a declaration and said, okay, I'm not going to be stubborn anymore. I'm going to be open-minded and go with the flow. So therefore, I'm going to be open. To being cooperative. So in the process of making that choice and actually following through with it, you don't have to worry about letting go of being stubborn, because just by making the choice, you focus on a certain direction. So therefore, you're going to notice that you're not stubborn no more, because you're actually focusing on what you really want to do is be cooperative. Open up, communicate, those kind of things that, you know, no matter what. Looking at people and realizing that no one or no thing has ever hurt you. It's the things that you allow to be done to you. Okay, and also realize one thing. We can say that very strongly. Because you're going to sit there and go, well, he did this, he did that. Take a step back in the situation and look at the person. You're going to realize one thing. They're not doing anything to you. They're just showing you who they really are. Okay? You need to sit there and focus and find somebody out there, like me. Get you a life coach. Get the thing going on. We also do life coaching. And I guarantee you, go to these other places. They're charging between $5,000 to $1,000 to start out working with a life coach. I guarantee you, contact me at 740-500-8863. We'll give you the same insights, the same qualifications, the same motivation, working with all the tools and everything else to help you do the same thing they were going to do. But I guarantee you, at almost not even half the fraction of the, not even half the price. Okay, I think it's really crucially important to help people understand that when you look at perceptions. Your perception says, oh, they're hurting me. They're doing this. They're doing that. You're playing the victim. When you take a step back, you're not taking any kind of accountability for your life. You need to take 100% accountability for your life, realizing that everything that's ever happened in your life is because of the choices you made and nobody else. When you could do just that one thing, you're going to see some positive changes in your life. Okay, when we look at the secret was pointing out in the ideal of intentions. Constructive intentions. What do you want your life to be? How much do you want to make? Not what the world tells you. I've had this so many times. We're looking at people and you just want to smack them in the face and go, listen to what I'm saying. And we're not going to smack anybody in the face. I'm just saying it's frustration. And it's frustrating to look at somebody and say, how much do you think you're worth? And then somebody says, $16 an hour. I'm not asking you what the world has basically titled you as a person with the qualifications that you have is you're only worth $16 an hour. I'm asking you flat out, what are you worth? I'm priceless. So therefore, the possibilities are endless. I would like to have an income of $10 million a year. And you're all saying, well, you have to, how can you do that? It doesn't matter how I do that. It's the ideal. Tell the universe, I want to earn $10 million a year. And you consider, say, doing what I love to do. And then you declare, what do you love to do? That you turn into a business that you would like to love to do every day to help somebody in the sense of some kind of service or giving back to the world. And then sit there instead of saying, you know, what can the world do for me? Tell, you know, like put yourself in a state of mind, what can I do for the world today? You know, hey, bring me 10 people I can help today. And don't be surprised if you start noticing your income go from a weekly paycheck of $426 to a daily income of $426. You see what I'm saying? It can change just that drastically. It's the idea of putting yourself in your situation. What is your life purpose? We'll give you a hint. Your life purpose is some kind of service that you give, but at the same time you love what you do. You love to help people. So therefore, if you're working a stupid job of being a manager of a freaking store, restaurant, or whatever it is, and you're asking yourself, realistically, how do you feel? If you come up with the conclusion that life is great, except I don't like the management part of it, I love helping people, then you need to listen to the latter part and put yourself into a career where you're constantly, every day, helping somebody, and what you're putting out there is coming back to you tenfold. All right, we have a caller in the queue. Let's see what's happening here. Let's go to take some calls, okay? Area code 301, you're welcome. Thank you for calling the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Eve. I'm calling from the...
How's Adam?
Hi, Adam. Calling from the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay. No, I'll say to you, how's Adam? I know where you're calling from. I used to live in Maryland.
I used to live in Maryland. Oh, you used to live in Maryland?
Yeah, I used to live in Rockville.
Okay, I know Rockville very well. I was in Bethesda today.
Yeah, I hate that freaking on-ramp. I don't know if they ever change that on-ramp. If you miss it, you got to go 5 miles in a row and come around and turn around. Anyway.
I know. It's pretty bad.
And then Shady Grove Road. It's one of the craziest intersections I've seen because I was actually sitting there, and they have this three lanes that turn, but the middle one, the very middle one has to turn. The other two, there's a decision. You can go straight or turn. But the middle one, you have to turn. And I sat there and watched one day as I was waiting for the bus. The lady in the middle lane decided to go straight.
Oh, wow.
And then she plows into a bunch of cars, hits the medium strip, and hits the sign. And then she's explaining to the cop how it's everybody else's fault.
Oh, and you witnessed all of that? Wow.
It was crazy. But, you know, that's what was that? It was 355 and Shady Grove Road. Crazy intersection.
Yeah. Rockville Pike. Yep, exactly. It's still pretty bad.
That's right, yeah. It's Rockville Pike, yeah.
Well, I was listening to you, and I completely agree with what you're saying about the career. Hopefully some good things will be happening for me career-wise in 2013. But I am calling about love today. I wanted to know if you could tell me a little bit about my Adam, as you put it. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about him. I am expecting someone to show up next year.
Okay, so yeah, the idea of looking at the situation too and say, are you allowing it to happen? And when I said, because I was talking to, we used to talk about this yesterday too, where we're talking about the ideal of allowance. It means the ideal that you put no expectations in it, on it, or nothing. You just sit there and, because I was telling, we had this thing about the lady comes in, she goes, I was trying to find a guy that fits this list. I'm like, it's not what you're supposed to do. The list is the ideal of sending your intentions into the universe and say, okay, I'm ready for this. And then allowing it to come to you. Because I saw this lady do this, I swear to you. She had the list, she met some guy, and then she tried to pound him into the list.
Oh, wow. I'm sure he didn't appreciate
it. No, he didn't. It was like one of those things. She said, I want someone in my life who accepts me for who I am. The only problem was she couldn't do it herself.
Accept him for who he was.
Exactly. She was like, well, I don't like the way you do this, this, and this. When realistically what was going on is, that was a reflection back at her about herself, the things she didn't like about herself.
Right.
She didn't realize that she wants the guy to change. She has to change within herself.
She has to change herself first. Well, you know, I am at a place where I really do love myself, and I love who I am, and I do feel complete. So just for that person to reflect who I am and how I feel.
Okay, and then do this too. Well, like you said before, the perfect example of the ideal of what I've told a friend of mine was, it's the ideal, I love myself unconditionally, you love yourself unconditionally, and then we'll share that love with each other.
Exactly. That's how I think it should be.
Well, I'm just saying, if people are listening out there too as well, as we're having this conversation, to realize, okay, is a relationship a two-way street? No. It's endless. Spontaneous, continuing love between two. It's like looking at the symbol of infinity, of figure eight, okay? Mm-hmm. Now see this figure, as in the figure eight represents energy of love going back and forth to each other. You will see that the figure eight is a continuous, and the energy keeps moving between the two of you. This is the two people loving each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes perfect sense too, because I've always, it's like looking at people who love themselves unconditionally. They represent the circle, continuous love within themselves. And then you take those two circles, you put it together, what you got? Figure eight.
Right, the infinity symbol. I like that analogy. That makes sense.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, if people are listening, I know they are, I'm just saying, this is the key, but it's also the greatest thing in the world to know that. So therefore, when a person does enter your life, like I was talking about talking to this other lady, what she was talking about, this guy, this, this, and this, and I'm really hurting because he did this to me, he did that to me. And it was kind of hard to explain to her that he never did anything. He was just being who he was. And she needs to look at that whole thing and realize in the process of him not being true to himself, by her not honoring her own feelings and own situation and moving on and letting it go, she wasn't honoring and respecting herself.
Right.
But it's also leverage. You can also use it for leverage. When a guy comes into your life, to tell you, because I feel like it's going to happen sooner than you think. You know, I keep getting January, almost like the end of January. That I feel like it's one of those things, how can you tell? First of all, you don't read it on the surface. It's the idea when we sit here talking about follow your heart, because we had this thing last year. It just pissed me off. I hate to say it that way, but I was sitting here trying to tell everybody, you need to follow your heart. And people were like typing in my chat room going, well, when you follow your heart, you get yourself in trouble. I said, no, you don't. Love has never let you down. It was that jerk that you was with who wouldn't honor what you were giving, and the process he couldn't give it to you. Okay, that's the problem. Okay, the idea of looking at you and saying, okay, you loved unconditionally. You gave, and you're mad because you didn't get back what you wanted. But just cut it loose and realize that something's coming. It's like with your situation. There's a lot of things that you've done in this past year that you let go of. It wasn't easy, but you did it.
Yeah, the wasn't easy part is true.
Yeah, but then you have to think. But you have to think about it too. It wasn't easy, but you did it, so it wasn't impossible. When we change our perceptions and realize that nothing's impossible, when you do have a person in your life, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because what you feel within your heart, what you feel as in the connection, because people, this is one thing I'm getting sick of answering questions for. When a person, a woman usually, I hate to say that, but it's like when I sit there and I say they tell me there's a connection, a bond between the two of them. Then the next question is, does he feel the same way, and does he love me? See, they're not listening to themselves. Okay, they're not listening to themselves. To realize the only way you can ever have it, it's like electric line. You cannot have a connection. You cannot have no current going through that connection unless it's connected on both ends. With that said, in a relationship, when you feel a connection with somebody, so do they. This gives you leverage. To look at a stupid guy and says, I really don't know what I want. I don't know if I'm in a relationship. You need to look at that guy in the face and say, do me a favor, shut up.
We would never do that.
I'm just saying, we all want to talk. We all want to understand what communication is. That's pure communication of telling somebody right exactly how you feel at that moment, because you're picking up, the connection between the two of you is basically telling you that he's bullshitting you right there and there. And you need to focus on looking him in the face, use it as leverage, and say, buddy, if we didn't both want this, we wouldn't be talking. We wouldn't be face-to-face. I manifested you. You manifested me. So get over it and embrace it, because there was this book.
I just want to say, when we do that, we got to be willing to let the chips fall where they may.
Well, it's the idea of living relationships. People don't realize it's not the idea of trying to figure them out. That's what I'm saying. You're not really looking at the situation, and you're not honoring your own feelings because you're not expressing them, because you're too busy trying to figure somebody else out. Okay, in this book, there's an outline, okay, that gives you the insights on what you should do. Okay, in the process of working on manifestations.
Yeah.
Okay, the first thing it says here, it's basically 10 things you do, okay? The first thing is you do not tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want, and it's not the idea of being secret, it's the idea you don't want to deal with other people's energy. That's what I always tell people. I say, okay, girls, stop telling your friends and quit going to your friends and going, okay, this is what this guy did, blah, blah, blah. All you're doing is giving energy to things that already happened, which more likely are going to continue because you're going to manifest them because you're giving the energy. We had this thing, we had this discussion when George Bush got elected. Everybody said nobody liked George Bush. But see, all their energy was focusing on it. So therefore, they had this thing in Florida that reversed the whole thing, and George Bush got elected because everybody's focus and energy was on George Bush. Didn't matter if we were saying we don't want him or we didn't want him. It was the idea we were focusing on it. So it manifested in the idea of anything you focus on, I don't want him here. That's my fear. Well, your fear manifests into reality. Now George Bush is president. Oh, my God. Anyway, because what you're doing is you're focusing on building things within your life, within your reality and your perception. Now, the one thing I wanted to point out the most is the ideal that when you sit there and focus on manifestation, okay, you recognize that it is the will of God for you to be wealthy in a relationship, and it's like your divine right to have these things.
It's my birthright.
Right, it's your birthright. And when you sit there and look at the situation, I'm trying to find this one, because the one thing that's crucially important for everybody to do, I'm trying to find it. I can actually put in the right words and say, okay, this is what it's all about. And when I tell people about affirmations, when we use affirmations, some people think affirmations is manipulation. Okay? So what you do is you say, okay, what's your situation? You really don't have anybody in your life at this moment.
But I can imagine him.
No, I understand that. What I was going to do is I'm pointing out because I have these affirmations, but mine has a name on it because I have this focus on a particular person. But sometimes with situations of affirmations, people have a tendency to get obsessive, and they think that it's the affirmation that is bringing things about, when realistically what it's doing is, it's just your subconscious mind. You're reconditioning your subconscious mind, because in the process of what you believe, you create. So to say that you sit here, you're sitting there going, particularly like mine, do it like first, second, and third person affirmations, okay? Like this one here. I have this one here where it says, I, Donnie Reed, am in a happy, romantic, deep, loving, communicated, committed relationship with this person, Amy Elmont, living a happy, fulfilling life together now. That's the first person. Now, what you would do is just say, I, Donnie Reed. Well, you'd say Donnie Reed, but you would say, I, so-and-so, am in a happy, romantic, deep, loving, committed relationship, living a happy, fulfilling life together now.
Okay.
And just give it to the universe. Okay, and then we go to the second person. Second person says, Donnie Reed, you are in. So you're talking to yourself. You're saying, Donnie Reed, you are in a happy, romantic, deep, loving, committed relationship with Amy Elmont, living a happy, fulfilling life together now. So be it. Thank you. Okay, what you would do is just say, you sit there and say to yourself, you are in a happy, romantic, deep, loving, committed relationship, living a happy, fulfilling life together now. Then you do the third person where it's like, and mine says, Donnie Reed is in a happy, romantic, deep, loving, committed relationship with Amy Elmont, living a happy, fulfilling life together now. So what you would just sit there and say, you would say, your name is in a happy, romantic, deep, loving, committed relationship, living a happy, fulfilling life together now anyway. So it's like a certainty thing. And then you can sit here and put a little tap on the whole thing and just say, divine love is working through me now to create that perfect, romantic, deep, loving, happy, committed relationship that I'm in right now. They always say now because we can't sit here and say, okay, tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. So the whole situation would be at arm's length, and you'll always be frustrated, okay, because it's not happening. Yeah, because you keep focusing on the future.
Right.
What you want
to
do is focus on
the
kind of things now. Yeah, so as you read these affirmations, also picture yourself, see yourself in a happy, romantic, deep, loving, committed relationship. And see yourself living a happy, fulfilling life together with that partner that you can picture in your mind. I'm just saying, with the ideals, with no expectations, you just put it in the universe, okay? Just put it out there to the universe and see what happens. I mean, my thing is like with work. What I told people to do is I've had a lot of, it's kind of funny when you work in the metaphysics and people are so self-absorbed in the process of their living. They're supposed, how we put this, like living spiritually. At the same time, they're like, I don't know if I can make money at this. And not realizing you're just basically saying, I just can't do it, so therefore I have no worth. So how could I ever get that kind of money? You know, it's like looking at the situation and changing things. I like having friends who make more money than I do, because realistically what it is, it's motivation to help me realize that if they can do it, I can do it, because we do the same thing and I'm better. Well, you know, not in an egotistic way. It's just the idea of saying, I know that I can do the same thing they can do, and it's the idea of wanting to surpass it just with the idea of having that kind of worth within yourself. But I was just trying to find that one in here, because I think it's very important to understand, because people are sitting there trying to manifest things, but the one thing they're not doing is honoring. Because it's like the idea, focus on what you desire in life. You must, it's the idea of focus your thoughts on what you really want. Not what the world tells you, okay? You know, the world says, I'm going to have an attractive guy. But we've also seen the attractive guy kind of thing. They have a tendency to leave the most footprints all over you. So what you do is you focus on what you really want. And what you really want, because people are like, well, I want da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's the kind of guy I want, treat me with respect. Okay, you're never going to attract anybody who's going to give you that respect until you respect yourself. Okay, so when you look at the situation, what it's saying here is, what do you really want? You want to be loved unconditionally, like you want to love someone else unconditionally. You also want that person that wants you as much as you want them, and plus you want to be single. Okay? Mm-hmm. You must make... Huh?
It said, plus you want to be single.
No, you want them to be single.
Them to be single,
this,
yes, okay.
Yeah, this declares to the universe, no... Because I had this one lady did that, and see what the problem was. She goes, I keep attracting married men. I said, but your perception is all the good ones are taken.
Ah, so she was manifesting that. Huh.
Yeah, so she's attracting married men. Okay, this is the second one. This is the one I was telling you that was really important. You must
mm-hmm.
make a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of your desires. Okay?
Yes. Sometimes
your
I
desires,
think people are afraid of what they really want.
Yeah, but see, it's a fear they need to confront in the process of attracting that relationship, that person. That's what a lot of us have to be, well, I should say everyone has to be very straightforward and blunt with the people we're with. Because, see, in the process, we've attracted each other to confront the fears that we know that we have that keep us from having a good relationship. We've made a decision. I'm in a good place in my life, so I want to do that. I know I got to confront those fears. So I chose this person. And so you basically declare, okay, what kind of person you want to attract in your life by the fears that you have to confront. So you can both confront it like a mirror. And when you do that, we all know for a fact that when you confront your fears, what the good thing is, you walk through
away.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when they go away, we also have cleared, we have cleared out blockages and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
you'll see two people keep continuing to get closer and closer because they keep facing those things. But one thing you'll see, too, is people who refuse to do that have a tendency to get further away from each other.
Yeah, they become more fearful.
Yeah, because they're starting to look at the person and go, I don't know if I can trust that person. When realistically, they don't,
mm-hmm.
they can't trust themselves because they think they made a bad decision again. That's a true, definite definition of not trusting oneself is the idea of having doubt with another. Because when you look at the situation, say you have a person who's accusing you of always messing around. It doesn't mean they're messing around, but I guarantee they're hiding something from you. So their fears of what they're doing and they're feeding into makes them believe that you would do it to them too.
Wow.
So you see why it's so important for a person to be truthful and to be honest and trust themselves, because if you don't, you can't do that with another. And really, I saw this the other day. There's a book out there called The Soulmate Secret by a lady named Ariel Ford. Get the book
mm-hmm.
because in the book there's one saying in there. It says it's not your job to seek love. What your job is to seek within yourself to remove the barriers that keep you from it.
Okay.
So we attract people into our lives to face those barriers within ourselves because we want to be able to open up to others. But you can't learn to trust somebody else until you trust yourself. Plus, once you trust yourself, you can't learn to trust another until you interact.
There's a lot more work to get rid of our own issues first. Instead, we just want to look to someone else to make us happy.
Yeah, but it's not their job.
No, it's not.
It's the idea of a person who's happy with themselves who attracts another person who's happy with themselves to be happy with each other.
Yeah.
That's what we call being on the same page. So if you look at your life and all the things that have changed, that's why I feel like it's going to be in the first part of the year instead of the latter part of the year. Because I feel like in some ways, there's certain things you still need to confront. All you need to do is confront and basically follow through with what you already know you need to do. I'll just start looking at this one here. It says your desires cannot be fulfilled in the outer world of experience and form unless you have the consciousness or the mental equivalence for them, which means the idea of doing work on your subconscious mind. Okay, the first step in building a mental equivalence is to recognize that the divine ideal corresponding to your desire already exists in your superconsciousness. It's already there. If you can imagine, if you can visualize anything, it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it exists. And having that kind of faith that it does exist, it will become a reality and you will be living it. It's just the idea that you have to stand, as we call it, you need to get out of your own way. Getting out of your own way means, it's what we all have, and I don't care who is out there, and would sit there and say they don't. Everybody has a controlling nature. Because the idea of a person coming to me and saying, what's this person thinking? What's this person going to do? What's their expectations? What do they want with me? Do you notice they're not focusing on themselves at all?
Right.
Okay.
They're
focusing on the other person. But in the same thing, listen to this. This is the truth. You have to watch yourself. You're trying to control the situation. You think that the more information that you have, the more you can control the outcome. Not realizing you're not controlling anything. It's like taking things back like this and putting things in perspective and go, okay, guys, did you call your boyfriend 2 months before you met him? No, you didn't. Not in the sense you think. What you did is you sent an intention into the universe saying, I want to be in a relationship. And this is the kind of person I've been thinking on and that kind of stuff, definitions, that kind of stuff. And then an opportunity presented itself, and you guys crossed paths. So what your job is to take yourself and realize that's how it works. The universe is basically, you're like a co-creator. You basically dictate, okay, this is what I want. And not until you let go of it does it actually materialize in your life. I've noticed every manifestation I've ever done always goes back to me forgetting about it. And then later on, an opportunity presents itself. You release it.
And allow it, yeah.
If I can sit there and tell people when I say let go, I'm not saying give up.
And right, most people you just think.
Have no,
allow the universe to do it, yeah.
Yeah, most people don't realize when they're manifesting cars and careers and that kind of stuff. So you're only working with one entity. You're only working with your desire, what that whole situation is all about. So it's easy to manifest a car, money, and that kind of stuff. Really, it is. Just by saying, it's easy to let go of those things because you really don't have the emotional connection to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are hard to let go of is people going, okay, I got this, I got all these bills. You know what I tell people to do with bills?
What?
Throw them in the trash. And they go, throw them in the trash? Yeah, because they're constantly reminding you of debt. And so you're trying to change that. You want to put yourself in abundance. You cannot put yourself in a state of abundance if you're always focusing on lack and limitations, which is what bills represent. Okay? And it's amazing because if you sit here and look at the situation, I've done that. And what's so funny about it is when I let go of them, stop worrying about them, throw them in the freaking trash, it was amazing how easy it was to attract clients and stuff like that to have the money. I actually did a test where I actually sit there one day and say, okay, I have two bills and I want paid off before the end of the day. And I told a friend of mine, I was like, I swear to you, if I could have videotaped this, where you could have seen my PayPal accounts and my checking account all had zeros. But by the end of the day, they were paid off. And it was like
telling people,
what was the combinator? I got up in the morning and said, these bills are going to be paid off by the end of the day. And I went to work. I focused. I worked with people. I basically played a route all freaking day. And all of a sudden, as I came home, people started calling me. And so I told a friend of mine, these wasn't small bills. One bill was like $130. And then my electric bill was like $35 or $40. And it was kind of funny how I got a client call me up and said she wants to do a healing session. And also this is another example that I kind of learned from too, because I was like, I was always giving people deals and you give them breaks and that kind of stuff. And this lady calls me up and says, I want to do a healing situation, a session, because you were talking about it before. She goes, remember me? I was like, first I started thinking, going, oh, this is wild, because I mean, my intentions this morning was to attract people so I could pay bill off. And then I was here, I'm talking to this lady I've already talked to, so there were certain things that were already in play. It was just the idea of allowing them to come into play again, that it can't happen, that just because you haven't talked to somebody, maybe forever, doesn't mean they're not going to come forward and go, hello. And she did. And she sort of looked at me and said, you do a healing session, I need to do some healing, that kind of stuff, so I want to give you a chance. So how much is it? I said, it's $135 for a 90-minute session. And this is how I put it. I said, usually I charge $135 for a 90-minute session. And she goes, okay. And I was like, what? Actually, you're going to say okay? She didn't ask for any kind of break or anything like that. She just said, and I started thinking about the whole thing. I said, maybe I'm manifesting these situations where I'm always giving people breaks is because I have a little bit of doubt that don't think it's worth it. And then that day was something that came through that said, no, you are, because when you sit and put yourself in a session, you have to give yourself credit on what you're giving somebody, that you deserve what you put into it, you deserve it back. That's always, I was sitting talking to a friend of mine, the question was like this, and you can answer the question if you want. What's more important, giving or receiving?
What's more important, giving or receiving?
What's more important, giving or receiving?
I think they're equally important.
Good. Thank God someone knows the answer. That's the truth. Because
it's
if everybody's
the opposite
giving,
side of the same energy, right?
Right. Because what happens if you have an imbalance between giving and receiving, you cut your prosperity off. Because, see, what happens is if everybody's constantly giving, who's receiving?
Right.
So it teaches you. Yeah, it teaches you. It says, even the Bible says, based what you put out there, what you reap, you sow. And also they say what you put out there comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if that's the case, then the reason half of these people are not getting the compensation they want because they're not allowing themselves to receive it because they're always focusing on giving is more important.
Right.
Okay? So when you look at the situation, it's like being and doing. It's the same thing, being and doing. What's the other one? Structure and flow.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. People realize one thing is not more important than the other. They work together, like the figure eight we were talking about. It's an infinity.
Yes,
and
two
also
complete parts
also,
coming together. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we also need to tell people, too, to fire their freaking marriage counselor who says, you know, not every, you know, all good things come to an end. No, they don't.
Yeah,
it's
they
human
don't have
perception
to.
That makes it otherwise, yeah. And then we're talking about Adam. For example, Adam and Eve. Did Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden, or did they leave because they didn't feel like they were worthy? Now, if you look at society and how we have these perceptions about ourselves, we can actually be harder on ourselves than anybody could when we do something we feel guilty about. So if you look at the situation and you trace it back to the beginning of what we experience now, you could trace it back to a source. And where's the source? Supposedly Adam and Eve were the first people on the planet. So therefore, was it or was it not? Either way it goes, it is kind
mm-hmm.
of funny to think about where do we get this perception that we're not worthy? And why are we so hard on ourselves? Because I've done work with people and said, okay, you created this freaking crazy life of yours. So therefore, what are you going to do about it? And they're going, okay, I feel guilty, I'm bad. I said, no, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make you feel guilty. You're sitting there asking me a question, how can I change my life? And I'm giving you a place to start to realize that since you created it, you can also recreate it. It's the ideal of changing your perception to realize you do deserve the best. Because I've also heard people say, well, I don't want to get rich. Okay, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do your service? And whatever happens, if you become very wealthy, I guarantee it's because of what you put out there. Okay, what your situation is the ideal reason we feel like it's so important to work on oneself in the process of getting a great relationship, because the more you are in a state of I'm a fantastic person, you're going to attract a fantastic person.
That's right. And I want it to be great, so I know I've got to be great.
So like I said before, the reason I thought that this one insert was so important, because that's the biggest thing of people dropping the ball. Okay? Because they're sitting there trying to manifest life, but the one thing they're not doing is, we've seen this with the guys who sit there and say, I'm not ready for a relationship. I don't know what I want. The reason the problem the situation is they're lying. And I always tell people flat out, if you want something in a relationship to even come back, you've got to continuously be yourself and not lie to yourself and not lie to them. Like, for example, I've heard this one so many times. We want to be friends. It's the idea of being totally honest with yourself. And you're in a situation, a relationship, and the person wants to break up with you, but they want to remain friends. The idea of the situation is being truthful. And if you can't do it, you can't do it. And realistically, it's actually a fact. The reason it's so hard, because it's impossible to just be friends with somebody that you've crossed the threshold with. You can't go backwards. Can you find a place that works? Maybe. If you want to. It's the idea of looking at the situation and going, I can't be friends with you. I just can't, because it's nearly impossible. And realistically, when you look at the other person, what is a person who basically says the relationship wasn't what they wanted, but then again, they want to have a friendship with you, which is a relationship. So see, it's a contradiction. So you have to ask yourself, okay, what are they doing? I think what they're doing, and I've seen this too many times, so I won't say I'm thinking, but when you look at the situation, these people want to keep you around in case they made a mistake. But if you take it one step deeper, if you take it one more deeper,
mm-hmm.
it's the ideal that the connection you feel with them, they feel too. But selfish human beings and the process of the stupid world think we have to go through experiences. I've heard this before too. I got to go out there and date all kinds of people so I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? So I'm ready. And when you sit here and look at the situation, they were already ready. Hello? Hello? That was creepy. Well, on that note, I'm just saying with the situation, relationships are relationships, and the connection was actually felt on both sides. Okay, in the process of realizing the connection has been felt on both sides, that's why the person wants to be friends. They're keeping an option open. At the same time, they're exploring other options. Don't you sit there and look at the situation of being a little disrespectful, even down to the point of being mean, because that's lying to you and saying, okay, let's just be friends because it didn't work out. Why did that person have the right to be your friend when they couldn't even give you a relationship? They couldn't be honest with you. They come telling you lies. It's up to you, of course. if you want to be friends with them, the process of that understanding if that's who they are, I think it'd be a whole lot easier if they told you the truth. I'm just saying, with this one insert in this book, that makes so much sense, because the ideal of all, out of all these things here, because it says you have to make a definite decision. What do you desire in life? You must focus your thoughts on that reality, and on that what you really want. Okay, in the process of that, you must make a definite, and this is the more important thing here. You must make a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of your desires. So therefore, when your manifestation becomes reality, and you're in a relationship, you realize you manifested that relationship. You manifested that person as much as they manifested you. Okay? If you walk away from that situation just because you don't want to deal with what's going on, then you're not really making a definite decision to accept that fulfillment of that desire. You desired it. You desired that person. Then you should go and follow through with see where it takes you, instead of allowing so many things on the whole thing. I've had people sit there and do the same thing with apartments and houses. Okay, I need to move. I need to get out of here. I need to do something different. Okay, and then they manifest these opportunities to move elsewhere. And then they start making excuses. That's the thing. You're not honoring the fulfillment of your desire when you start making excuses of why you can't follow through with it, or why you can't commit to that person. Why can't you embrace that relationship? And you have to take that in consideration. Why are you making excuses? Excuses are things that we create to keep us from where we really want to be at. That's a fact. Your desires cannot be fulfilled in the outer world of experience and form unless you have that consciousness or mental equivalence to them. Okay? The first step in building that mental equivalence is to recognize that the divine ideal corresponding to your desire already exists in your superconsciousness, which is the ideal connection to God. So this is the intellectual awareness. But an intellectual awareness alone does not have sufficient power to shape the outer picture. Your feeling nature must also be brought into play. When the two are combined, a powerful reaction takes place in the subjective phase of mind, setting up a vibration that corresponds to the spiritual equivalence of fulfillment in your superconsciousness. Whoa. Okay, and then you sit into the fusion of mind and heart along the lines of a particular desire fulfillment. If protected from thoughts to the contrary, will develop into a conviction. Conviction will turn into a reality. The conviction of the mental equivalence becomes the pattern through which the creative energy of mind flows or radiates. As this energy, light, power, substance, passes through the pattern, it takes on all the attributes of the pattern and goes forth into the outer world to manifest corresponding circumstances, experiences, and forms. Okay, do not outline the way your desire is to be fulfilled. Do not be concerned with how your good is to come forth. You must trust the wisdom and integrity and ingenuity of the power, which is God. You develop your subjective convictions through a dedicated program of completive meditation, affirmations, and the proper use of your power of imagination. Be filled with a sense of thankfulness and gratitude that your desires are already fulfilled. They are in mind, so therefore they will be in physical form, and that they will come forth into visibility at the right time, in the right place, and the right way. Be active. If you just sit around and wait for your good to fall into your lap may be far removed from the point of contact and channel that power has selected specifically for the outpouring of your good. So therefore, it's the ideal also listening to your guidance and promptings to be in the right place at the right time. So you have to be active. But also in the situation, we've seen it's the idea of listening to your intuition. Because I've actually had situations with people and that kind of things. And, you know, one lady in particular was wanting to get married and that kind of stuff. And it was the ideal that she really wanted to find somebody. And I got kind of, when I was giving her the reading, I got too much worldly in there where I sit there and said, well, you know, you got to get out of the house. You got to meet people. You got to do this. And she said that she felt like she was going to meet somebody close to her, and that she said she felt that her intuition was telling her that she didn't have to go anywhere. And you know something? She was right. And this is a perfect example of listening to oneself, listening to your own spirit guides and angels, because people are going to tell you all kinds of stuff, but they can only see it from the outside and not living it. So therefore, if your guides and angels say, stay put, and that's what she did, and she ended up connecting with her mailman, and she actually married her mailman. So see, she was right. She didn't have to go anywhere, and she was still being active by listening to her angels and guides and the promptings on what she should do, which in her situation was a lack of movement to stay right where you're at. But I'm just saying, emphasize on the one part here, in the process of manifesting things in your life, you got to let go completely. Forget all about it. What you're doing is you're telling the universe, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt this is going to happen, so I don't have to think about it. I don't have to sit and dwell on it. And when you do, see, that's the reason that affirmations, visualizations, meditations, affirmations, and using your imagination to focus on what you want, those are used when you feel a little bit doubtful about the situation to get you back on the path, where you get back to that point of saying, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Okay? But remember, and about all these 10 things, if you remember one thing, maybe two, you must make a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of your desires, to realize how it happens. It's like the idea you put a thing out there and said, I want to do radio. Next thing you know, you're doing internet radio. Now, some people would say that's not real radio, but see, the point of the situation is detail. You just said you want to do radio, and realistically, you are. So therefore, it came to pass. So therefore, accept it. Accept the fulfillment of the desire. It might actually be something on the form of you're doing internet radio to get prepared for something that's coming up in the future as doing a real radio show. So all these things are preparing yourself for the big thing. So it's, when you sit and look at a situation like that, those are also examples and signs that something bigger is going to happen to. That's why it's so important to make that decision. Make a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of your desires. Because just because you're doing a smaller form of it, that might be setting you up in a positive way to do the big, the ideal, the manifestations of your desire. Same thing with relationships and that kind of stuff. It's the idea of looking at things, how they play out. You know, looking at a person as a soulmate. You have a certain format in your mind, too, as well. This is what I want. And then you meet this person who basically, like I said before, we're looking for people realistic in relationships. We want to be loved unconditionally, and we find this person who does love us unconditionally. You know, and I think the one thing is we have this fear, too, that we're going to, it's kind of funny how some people have a fear of actually being with the wrong person who's ugly, not realizing that in the process of certain situations we've met a lot of people that we thought were not very attractive people, and it's after we got to know them, and then for some reason that was no longer even a consideration. We forgot all about it in favor of the essence of that person, and we saw the beauty within them. So therefore, the two together, we saw them as a beautiful person. So think about that one. So we have another caller in the queue, so let's go to a caller. This is Erica 515. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
Sue.
Sue?
Yeah.
Hello, Sue. Hello, Sue. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
We could do a Johnny Cash song, you know, Sue, how do you do?
Right. I'm used to that one.
Okay, but we won't do that. But
okay.
But where are you calling from?
Iowa.
Iowa?
Uh-huh.
So, how is Iowa?
Cold, very cold.
I was sitting here looking at the situation. I think I actually talked to someone today. So they just got back from Iowa. I live in Colorado.
Ah, cold, either way.
Yeah, today it is. I was sitting in my shop, and I'm like, we're going to have to do something about the heat. This is not working.
Yeah. I understand.
I was freaking out. Yeah, so we're sitting doing the whole thing and stuff like that. I was just like, I always tell people in the process of things I've gone through, I wish I could videotape my life and the idea of how important it is to look for solutions instead of focusing on the problem. Because we already know what the problem is.
Yeah.
Solutions are pretty easy, too. With anything, I actually had a situation where it's amazing how people can really tick you off in the process of their perceptions I think it's why it's so important when it says in the book, don't tell anybody when you're trying to manifest positive changes in your life, because you're always going to attract people to the contradictory. I was working at the gym, and I was having pain in my chest and my shoulders, and I didn't want to give up doing bench presses and shoulder work, so I was like, there has to be a solution. Everybody's like, we might have arthritis. Oh, shut up, get like me. you know, it's like, and then you start having people come forward, and it was like, well, maybe you have to give up the bench press. Maybe you have to do this. Maybe you have to do that. And I said, okay, guys, I wasn't looking for people to feed into fear. I was looking for, you know, solutions and some input. And I started thinking about it, that the people I was attracting who were giving me the negative input were actually giving me more motivation to find a positive solution, which I did. It was just simply using a smaller exercise to actually warm up the areas before I actually did the bigger ones, which actually solved the problem, which I was actually able to keep doing them. It's like changing your mind. I wish I could sit down with people and have a nice seminar and say, okay, you all want to sit there and act like you're young for the rest of your lives? And just act like you're young and do what you would do. Because I've started noticing that in the gym, it's amazing to watch certain people who are certain ages that in the world they would tell you that you can't do those things. I actually saw a documentary on, they took five ladies ranging from 70 to 80 years old, and they put them on a workout program, gymnastics, weights, that kind of stuff. Got them to a situation where they were constantly physical all the time, strengthened their bodies. Then 6 months later, they show you a footage. You're like off in the distance, and you're watching these five girls do pyramids in cheerleading outfits. As the camera gets closer, you start realizing it's the same ladies.
Interesting.
Yeah, in the process of changing the perceptions and changing, you know, just putting them in a situation like that, they change their perceptions. I started realizing what they could do instead of saying, okay, well, since I'm this age, you know, they said we can't no longer do that. I've heard people do that. I cracked a girl's back one time, and she was like, well, I'm getting old. No, you just need your back cracked. It's amazing how we feed into those things so easily. I was like, what was it? Person asked me, she goes, how come you don't date girls your own age? Because they're all dying. Just ask them.
Oh,
I'm dying. Anyway. So you have a tendency to gravitate. Yeah, you have a tendency to gravitate. I think it's one of those things, your perception and who you are really has you to gravitate to people that are good for you.
Yes, I agree.
People are taking the perception and say, well, you should be dating a girl who's 45. Why? What is your perception on that? What makes you believe that that's what I should do within my life? The perception will be traced back to your beliefs within your life. So how does that reflect on mine? Realistically, it doesn't. Only if I allow it to.
Hmm.
Okay, so we look at the situation of diseases and alcoholism and all that kind of stuff. What they keep saying is, you know, what do you call that when you go from generation to generation? Oh, hereditary. I said, is it really hereditary physical ailments, or is it hereditary thinking?
It's hereditary thinking.
Yes, because we have a lot of people, too, in my family. My mom was sitting here going, we have a lot of fat people and a lot of people who have heart attacks and that kind of stuff, so therefore you should be thinking about that and doing something different with your life, because we have this hereditary thing in our lives. I said, no, you don't. You got fat people who drop dead and have heart attacks. Makes perfect sense to me. So therefore, the simple solution is not to dwell on the fat people and our family, but it's the ideal of how can I change my life so therefore it doesn't reflect those things as more healthy.
Correct.
I'm sorry, sweetie. What you calling for?
I was just calling for an angel reading.
Because I tell people when I start talking, it's messages coming through. And since you're on the phone, and whoever's listening at this moment, and even me, should take into consideration the advice and the message just came through. And the ideal really has a lot of reflecting here. Not on the physical ailment I was talking about with the bench press and stuff, but it's the ideal to find a solution, which I think is more detailed relationships. Because how I perceive my relationship with me and my body determines my success.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have a book that says that there's five parts of our lives, our spiritual life, our service, because the first one is spiritual life, how you feel, you know, how you spiritually. It's the idea of realizing you're a total spiritual being, and then allow yourself to be totally fulfilled, you know, totally filled with that kind of energy, to realize it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Why it's so important, why spirituality is the first one, because it gives you that perception that you can create the life that you want. instead of thinking it's an illusion, it's actually a reality. You just have to set your own, realize that within yourself. Then the second part is your service to the world. And that's basically what it's saying. It's like saying, find something that you love to do, do it to your best ability, turn it into a business. Because I've always seen life purposes. Life purposes are basically giving service to the world. In the process of giving service to the world, like I was telling a friend of mine, she's a healer. But in the process of healing other people, it has such a profound positive effect on her. It also heals her too. And it also points out things that she needs to do for herself. So it's like we were talking about earlier with the other lady, it's a figure eight, that how the love is between everyone and anyone and everyone in your life. But it's always a continuous thing. It's always your choice how that actually happens. So the service thing was the idea of saying, whatever it is, you know, whatever you want to do, that's the point. If you're in a situation of a career, a job, or whatever it is, and you're there because you feel like you have to be there, then you're in the wrong place. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the third one, which is crucially important, the third one is really crucially important. Why? Because it's your physical body. We don't realize you cannot have balance in your life unless there's balance between the physical and the spiritual, which means balance between your body and your spiritual body. Okay? So therefore, if you're not taking care of that physical part, that's like people out there going, okay, if you have a car and you keep constantly driving it, you don't do any maintenance, don't do any checkups, don't do, what do you call that? I had the word too. Tune-up. Tune-ups and that kind of stuff, or, you know, tires and stuff. I mean, if you don't replace these things, what's going to happen is that car is going to be sitting on the side of the road way beyond repair. And that's what people do in the situation. They keep doing energy work, but they don't work on their bodies because they think, well, I'm a spiritual being, not realizing you're also kind of eliminating your transportation, okay? And that's what it is. And so I always tell people, too, it's like really getting in touch with your body, too, as well, and realize what kind of spiritual being you are, to also put those two where they need to be at. The body is transportation. The spirit is the driver, okay? And also the situation of realizing the body has emotions or feelings that you have to separate from the spiritual feelings. Because spiritual feelings are true feelings, true love. The body has a tendency to react in certain things because of the physical sense of chemistry and that kind of stuff. So I always tell people, chemistry is not important in a relationship. Because what you're going to do is you're going to attract each other in a spiritual sense, which is true love, but it's also in the same category as soulmate, twin flames. Those are spiritual concepts, and you cannot sit there and go and try to figure out what these connections are through a physical perception. You're always going to be confused. That's why a lot of women and guys, but mostly women, because I work with more women. That's why I feel like they're always confused, because they're looking at the physical actions instead of trusting the feeling they have between the two. As in the connection is a spiritual connection, which will tell you everything and anything about that person, only if you're listening to yourself. Okay, so the important new thing is about any kind of, I don't care what kind of activity it is, yoga, even if it's just simply taking a walk. Well, personally, as a personal trainer, I would still say walking's good, but you still need to strengthen that body on something. I told a friend of mine, I said, try this. Just find a circuit program, a circuit training, where it's like one or two exercises per body part. You run through all of them. Do it three times and go home. Do it three times a week, and you're done. You've done your physical part. But I guarantee you, by doing these physical senses, everything else has a tendency to get more easier. Even your mind thrives on that activity. That when you're working out or walking, you're actually, if you catch yourself, as people call it, daydreaming, that's actually a walking meditation. And it's the greatest way in the process of a workout, riding a bike, taking a walk, you find the solutions to issues and problems and that kind of stuff. So you see, it's very important. Okay? So then we have the fourth one. The fourth one is focusing on the finances. But the simple thing what you got to do, I saw this affirmation. I need a freaking bookshelf that really works for me. This hands me the books I need. Okay, like this one here. Oh, I forgot I put it in my journal. This is a simple affirmation. Just this one affirmation can change your life drastically. I just want to read it real quick.
Okay.
I didn't realize I wrote so much in my book. Okay. Here it is. Simple affirmation. All you say is the I am. See, the I am is focusing on God. But you also say, I am, which is the idea of reconnecting to God, which is you have always been. So it says, I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. And then just simply say thank you. Repeat that one over and over again. And then say, and so it is. Anything you do, focus on that. And situation, I'm trying to find my angel cards too. There's so much clutter. Maybe I should use an affirmation for organization. And, you know, I was centered on earlier, but you can actually use the affirmations and use people's names. But I think it's one of those things you have to listen to your guidance and the idea of listening to your angels and say, okay, that is the person. And then get that really strong, confident feeling you feel. We all feel this. There's that one side of us that says, you know something? I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that all I have to do is let go of this whole thing. It's going to happen. I can see it. I know it. I feel it. You know, like they always say, I see it, I know it, I believe it. So be it, so be it, so it is. And then there's this other side that says, starts feeding in certain things, certain visualizations, like say, particularly, like, for example, a relationship. You're focusing on getting back with this person. Then you start focusing on things like, what happens if they get with somebody else? What happens if they don't love me? What happens? And all this stuff. That's the other side. It's like the devil and the angel. The devil side, that's the devil's advocate, and that's your ego kicking in, going, all these stuff, remember these things? And basically what it is tapping into past experiences. And see, I've always told people flat out, when you start doing that, you need to sever that. Because basically what you're trying to do is that it's like the ego making you feel insecure and fearful. So then you cut in and you're trying to define things to basically silence those things. So you're looking for logic to do it, like a person is looking at a guy and go, okay, does he love me? But realistically, it's an insecurity within themselves. When they really don't love themselves, or they don't love themselves enough. Like when they look at a guy and go, you don't love, you know, this guy doesn't love me like he should. He's never going to love you like you think he should, because he's going to love you the way he loves you. Because who he is. But the ego will tell you otherwise, and then make you feed into that. So what you got to do is go over to the other side, I guess we'd say the angel, or but the idea of listening to your angels, okay? Devil feeds into the fear. The angels are always going to help you see these win-win situations. They do exist. And always see the positive of everything. Always see the positive within yourself. To always see how powerful you are. Not, as the ego would do, make you feel weak. Make you feel that you don't deserve it because of the things you've done in the past. See, that's why it's so important to let go of baggages and let go of your past. Because it's going to filter in and say, okay, remember you did this, and you should feel bad about that. And what you think you really want to go into this situation? Because you're really thinking, it's like, no, you've dealt with it. It's just a memory you need to let go of. And the reason that memory exists is because you allow it to. And when you start to say no more, take a deep breath and go, no, I want to feed in this part where I say it's going to happen. The more you start to feed in the other side, like I said, the affirmations is really a great affirmation, because basically if you listen to all these things that's in the affirmation, when these things happen, I'm whole. You'll feel whole. You'll be able to focus into the positive, perfect. You'll realize you are a perfect being, so therefore the person that you're with, I've seen this a lot too. This guy's really gorgeous. Why would he want to be with me? Because you are too. You're perfect. You're strong. If you're strong, it means you're actually feeding into, you're not feeding into that little voice that tells you otherwise. So you're powerful. Because of the strength. And you're also a very loving person, because right at that moment that you start listening to the voice and realizing who you really are, you're loving yourself. And then things start to have a tendency to be harmonious and happy. With all those things coming together, you're going to attract the mate, the job, the career, the opportunities to see otherwise. Okay? That's why I was looking at this thing because I said this, I can't even say it. Anyway, this affirmation is in truth. Because that's who you truthfully are. You are. That's what you're saying. I always say to tell people too. Say to yourself, I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. Say it till you feel it, and then so it is. And then sit there and say to yourself, I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. So therefore, I am loved, cherished, and adored. See, the I am is in there again. Which actually in the Bible it says, I am, the I am. God's telling you who he is. But when you look at this, as I'm whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. You're just saying to yourself, I am these things. So therefore, they're going to reflect in your outer world of attracting the same thing, whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, happy people. And if they're not, that was the other thing I was talking about too, the idea of allowing, making a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of your desire, to realize in the process of these desires coming forth, there's going to be people and situations that are going to be acts out in favor of that. Are you ready?
Yep. Yep.
That's what I'm saying, you know? When you sort of look at the situation, I've seen a lot of people who go, well, you know, guys are worse for this. You know, why should I have to, and girls have done it too, where they sit there and go, you're making me give up my friends. And no, not really. You made a definite decision to get into a relationship, and you said, I am your significant one. I am your life partner. That you would always honor that, and you would always never put no one before me. And here you are, putting your friends before me. Because true friends and true family and true anything in your life will always be. And if it's not just that easy, it goes go with the flow of your relationship, then you should question those friendships and those family relationships too as well, of them interfering and saying, well, you know, you shouldn't give up your friends. Sounds to me like an insecurity playing out with your friend that you need to look at too as well. Because it's kind of crazy that I think we've actually acquired friends in our past because of the insecurities that we had. And then when we get to a point in our lives where we let those insecurities go, those friends are still there, and they'll probably even come forward. Those are the ones that always tell you all the negative things. You meet a guy, he might be a serial killer, he might be this. That's a negative friend. It was actually manifested in your life because of how you used to feel in a negative way. So when you look at the situation, you ask yourself, if that person can't respect you, then they can't respect your relationship. If they don't respect your relationship, they don't respect you. And what you're going to find out is the person doesn't respect themselves and dealing with their own insecurities and their own fears, because I think everybody who's ever been drawn into your life is to face some kind of fear, to have a good relationship, a good friendship, any kind of thing. So when you put those together, then we get to, like I said, four. Four is finances, and four says that you are as rich as you can imagine. So if you're a person that sits there and goes, you know, if you're caught in a pattern where you're sitting there saying, I need to make $400 a week, I need to work 40 hours, I need to work 80 hours to pay these bills, that's where your focus is, and that's where your focus is going to probably be for the rest of your life until you change it, to realize that you're a slave to your job, you're a slave to your life, and you're a slave to your bills. This is the idea of telling people why is it so crucially important to balance these things out, is the idea of taking back your power. Because in the power, we give it to our boyfriend, our girlfriend, our job, our bosses. Listen to people out there. I got to go to work. If I don't show up, my boss is going to fire me. You should take a step back and look at yourself and go, okay, what did I just say? Like, this guy is my master. Okay, I'm sorry, but those days are over. And a lot of times you can trace these situations back to a past life experience, that you did have a master, or you were slave in kind of situations. Go look at Jesus' time. What's the difference between Jesus' time and our time? Nothing, except for the slaves get insurance and they get paid. So take a look at the ideal. The people that were flourishing the most in Jesus' time, even Jesus, were self-employed. Jesus was a carpenter. The wise men, most of them were fishermen. They had business of their own. Even the guy who was a tax collector. Back in those days, a tax collector was actually self-employed. He got a percentage of all the taxes he got. That's why he was always pushing the tax thing and getting as much as he could so he could get as rich as a king. Because he got a percentage. So you sit and look at the situations of how these perceptions happen. Then you start thinking about things in a different perspective and start realizing that money is just a tool. Are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here. I'm listening.
Okay, here's the thing, is sex and money are the same thing, and they also represent a spiritual concept. Do you know what that is?
What?
Giving and receiving.
Okay.
When we unconditionally give when we're having sex, the other person just automatically responds back. So it's a constant giving and receiving. No one even thinks about it. It's the same thing with money. If you put yourself in money, realizing it's a tool and that it has no power, it's just exchange. You want something, they want something. And when you guys have a tendency to put yourself in a situation where it's just a realization and it's very spontaneous, when you give, they give back. all you have to, all both people have to learn how to do is to receive what they're giving back from the other. So it's kind of like easy. But if you also take the same kind of take the same analogy and put it into a relationship, you can see how the relationships would probably change to be positive. And that's number five. Number five is relationships. It doesn't say a loving, a romantic relationship. It says relationships. It's very, in the book, it basically focuses how important it is to realize that every relationship in your life, if you love everyone unconditionally, all you're doing is basically portraying to everybody else that you do too. And people gravitate to you and give you anything you want. The ideal, information, money, opportunities, people will gravitate to you because love is the strongest power in the universe that attracts anything and everything to us. When we talk about the ideal, everything you desire, every good thing you desire comes to you, because when the process of actually desiring and loving yourself and the ideal, what you really want, desire, what you want, need, desire, and you eliminate the world and you really put it in perspective, you start realizing the things that we deserve it by divine right is a spiritual concept. So therefore, we deserve those things. And for some reason, they start coming to us very easily. I've also seen this with relationships, too. You can tell if it's a good relationship that you're with because everything starts getting better for the both of you. So realistically, when you meet the right person, your dreams will come true. If they're not coming true, and it's more freaking bullshit, drama, then you have to take it back and look at the situation and go, okay, why are you thinking you deserve this? When you're actually punishing yourself for something that you haven't let go of yet. And realize maybe that's the reason this person came into your life. Not the ideal of using you, abusing you. It's the ideal that you're still in some ways denouncing yourself. So this person just came in to do the same. And when you confront it and say, okay, no more. I just sit there and focus on the situation. I'm letting man and conditions control me. Thinking, okay, I have bills, so I have to work. The ideal, I want to be in a relationship. I'm lonely, so I have to be with this person, so I won't be lonely. See, we're putting ourselves in half-to situations because of fear, not because of love. And when we change and correct all those things, then we start realizing why relationships are so important. I mean, I sit here and talk to everybody. Love this, love that. I do see some jealousy with the girls, which is kind of strange in some sense of the word. I was just being nice and open, and there are certain people I gravitate to more. But we can't sit there and defend ourselves and think we're doing something bad when realistically in the process of two people being jealous, or maybe one person being jealous, of another person when you interact with them, you understand that if you're in a good place, you should be able to see that one for what it is. It means the person who's jealous is not. So you see how important it is in the idea of loving oneself. You also trust yourself. So therefore, you trust everybody, and they have a tendency to show their true colors. So therefore, you know who to get rid of and who don't.
Okay.
Because I was sitting there looking at the situation. There's even affirmations where they're talking about the idea of relationships. It's just the idea of understanding that everything in your life, everything that's ever happened to you is because of a decision you made. We had a lady, I was talking on the show about sexual abuse, and she said when she was 8 years old, she was molested by somebody, a neighbor, a male neighbor. But she also says if she would have been taught, because she said when she went into the situation, she felt it. She felt an uneasiness, and she felt like she shouldn't have gone there. But see, no one had really worked with her on how to listen to her intuition, how to listen to herself, to realize that she didn't have to do anything. And if she didn't feel good about it, and she didn't feel like she should say yes, then she had all the rights in the world to say no. But she wasn't. And she said that when she went into the situation, she knew. By the decision she did, by not listening to herself, and she said, of course, she was going by what she'd been taught or the lack of, so she didn't really have a lot of information, but she did know for a fact that she did feel it. And she just wished that she would have been taught differently to listen to that prompting, that bad feeling, to not to go there. And she feels like if she made the decision, so that's why it happened to her. She doesn't condone the person for what he did because that's what he needs to deal with. What did he do? But she also takes accountability for her actions and decisions. Which I thought was kind of crazy. She's talking about an 8-year-old, but it was like giving everybody else an insight to basically thinking and working with our kids, not telling them not to talk to strangers, but to start listening to their intuition to know who to let into your life and who not to, who to trust and who not to trust. Because the only way you can do that is you have to trust yourself. If you don't trust yourself unconditionally, then how can you really tell when people are lying to you? Because when you trust yourself and when you love yourself and trust yourself that much, then you're listening to the promptings within you, not their actions, which actions have a tendency to turn people off. Same thing with relationships. That's what I'm saying. Are you in a relationship, if I may ask?
Yes, I'm married.
I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Just what you said, that maybe it was just the idea you're tired. I'm just saying. 515. Where's 515?
In Iowa, Central Iowa.
Oh, you told me that, didn't you? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Looking at the situation of relationship that shows more levels of intensity, connection and bond, and love. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The focusing on your relationship, of the intensity of where it can be and where it can go still.
Okay.
Exists. So it's the ideal that the more you work on yourself, the more you focus on, this might sound crazy too, but the ideal that the more you focus on your career, focus on what you really want to do, focus on your gifts and your spirituality, strengthens any kind of relationship you have in your life. I was actually looking at the nines here. So my friend was talking about the chat room, that she said she felt like this next year coming up is a nine. Nine means get to work, light workers, now. The number nine means that you've completed all the frequency to achieve your life purpose. Stop procrastinating, as it is time to start taking action steps, even if it's only baby steps. It's like my friend. She is looking for ways to actually be able to earn from what she does. I was trying to explain to people, light worker is not what you're trying to achieve. It is who you are. So they say, start looking.
Yes, that's who I am. And I do healing work. I do energy work.
Really, can you help me out?
A variety of probably.
I've had situations like this where I've had migraines and stuff like that. I think it's because of working with people, that kind of stuff. I just opened a shop besides the websites and phone work that I do with readings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing energy work too. I started doing healing. I'm really focusing on a lot of healing work. And the idea of working with, some people might freak out when I say, I started working with, I have this book, we're talking about the 12 chakras, not just the 7, and it was talking about the ninth chakra, which is above your head, which is connected to your higher self. It was kind of amazing when I started working with that and just started getting it spinning, I could feel the heat in my hands.
Yes.
I could also feel the connection with my angels and stuff a lot more tenser. So then I started working with the 10th and 11th, which is basically chakras that are also working with realistically reality, the true sense of what reality is, to help you see, which was kind of funny because it just intensified things that I was already doing. Like I was working with people, and we were talking about masks, and I was talking about at the beginning of the show, I was sort of saying, if you wear a mask of any kind, you are a liar to whoever that person you make that mask for. And I've seen people who are multi-faced, and that just means they have a mask for everybody because they feel like they have to be a certain person to get along with a certain person, not realizing they're still hiding their true self. They should ask themselves why they do that. And I've had people look at me and say,
I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question. You were talking about the number nine. Now, how did...
Mm-hmm.
Can you reiterate how that came forward and what it is, what it represents again?
Well, someone in the chat room was talking about, it was a friend of mine, was talking about the ideal. She feels like this next year that we're coming into is representing the number nine.
Correct.
Okay, which is basically, if you look in the other books too, like for example, let me see, I want to find this one. And all I was saying was with the mask is that we people like you and me and that kind of thing, we're not seeing through people. We're actually seeing their true selves of who they really are. We look past the mask. And what I was trying to help understand with people, if you're listening to this show and you also are a person who does the mask we're not looking through you, and we're not trying to make you feel vulnerable. But vulnerability is the key component to a great, fantastic relationship with yourself and anybody. Vulnerability, when you're very vulnerable, you also have some great communication because you're not fearful to speak one's mind. But it's also to help you realize that if I can see past that mask, your fear is if I see past the mask, I won't like you. I'm trying to help you understand that I've already seen past the mask, and that's what I like. If it's a relationship, and I look at my girlfriend, and she's like, you're seeing right through me. I said, no, I'm not. I'm actually seeing you. And I said, you should have confidence in that you were holding this mask in front of you, thinking that if I saw you and who you really was, I wouldn't like you no more. And I'm trying to help you understand. I already see you, and I still love you. That's who I love. Okay. Not the mask. Okay. I love you.
Right.
I'll try to find 8. Here it is. See? Okay, I lost it again. All right. 888 is a very auspicious sign of complete financial support from the universe. Money is flowing in your direction. It also represents the idea of completion. Okay, completion means that you've basically done what. It's like, it's kind of funny too how the Mayas were talking about one cycle will complete and end, and another one begin. And if you look at the 8 and the 9, that's what it says. The 8 is completion of a certain phase in your life. Now it's time to let that go in favor of a new one coming in. And the ninth one is actually indicating to everybody, in some sense, word to realize, because I heard this before, there's some people who are light workers and some people are not. And realistically, that's not true because we all come from the same source. It's just that we're on different levels of that discovery. And some of us have actually chosen, in the process of our own path and our life purpose, to help other people and the idea of attaining that. Because I've had people come on this show and say, well, you worship the devil and you're sure there's angels or what, da 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 da. And it's the idea, even the Bible, it even tells you how to distinguish between a good spirit and a bad spirit. So if we're not allowed to talk to them, why would it help us distinguish between the two? And also the same thing, I got kind of irritated too, because we don't, you know, the idea of doing psychic work, you shouldn't do that. I said, well, you know what the true meaning of psychic means? Is to read one's energy.
Right.
A clairvoyant. A clairvoyant is a person who sees visions and also sees visions through dreams. We also have a clairaudient is a person who gets promptings and hears spirit and is also clairhearing. So when you're, like we've seen it before where you miss a turn or something and you hear something that says, you missed your turn. So you turn around and sure enough. Clairsentient, as everybody knows about clairsentient, which is kind of funny, that those butterflies you feel in your stomach is a clairsentient. It's also your solar plexus. And it's kind of funny how they're in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Because your solar plexus is in charge of your power and control. And when that sucker flux up like that, and something's affecting you where you feel powerless and you feel a little out of control. Okay, I always tell people, me personally, when I meet a person and that doesn't, and I don't feel the butterflies in my stomach and I feel very confident with that person, that's what I notice. When I get the butterflies, it means somebody's not being totally honest with me. You see how it works? That you can actually just by trusting those energy centers in your body, it tells you anything about everybody. I call it spidey sense.
That's what I call it.
Yeah, you get the heads up, and you can handle the whole thing. But it was kind of funny how we have the 9, which talks about what is the next phase. And everybody's always said it's an enlightenment going into this next phase of evolution in man. So therefore, the 9 represents basically focusing on one's life purpose. If you want to call yourself a light worker or whatever. I was trying to tell my friend, light worker indicates who you are. If you are a healer, it represents what you do as a light worker. But you don't have to sit there and go, I'm a light worker. I don't know if I should make a living at this. You just sort of look at the situation, in some sense the word, Michael Jackson and these other people and just all kinds of professions have a way of affecting people in a positive way. So they were all light workers in some sense the word, and they just chose a different course on how they were going to get that through to people because we can't look at a Michael Jackson of what happened at the end of his life or even some of the things he did. But I think we should look at the idea of really looking at a history of somebody, of their actions. Because Michael Jackson gave millions and millions of dollars to charity and stuff like that. So, you know, but you don't hear about that stuff. Of course not. You're going to hear it on the news because that's not drama and it doesn't really sell papers. But I think that was more important than anything else to realize. Michael Jackson had a gift. And he was very well compensated. Because he also had a lot of faith that he was, how do you put it? It's like almost unconditionally, if you see Michael Jackson in his day, he was just constantly giving back, always trying to figure out how to take the next album to really give something more back to people. And you'll see a lot of people, I do the same thing when we do readings and stuff like that. I've had people I work with where we're sitting there going, do you think you really did enough for that person? And we're always looking for ways to give more back. And the process
right.
of people trying to figure out how come you, why, you know, you have all this stuff going on in your life, but you don't have a real job.
I'm curious. I'm curious because you'd spoken about jobs. You had spoken about occupations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cutting back on I went to part-time where I'm working now to focus more wholly on my energy work.
That's good.
So, you know, I was just kind of curious, when you do your angel readings, do they ever give you any information regarding that besides what you had already shared?
Oh, yeah, because I tell people, when you look at my angel cards, the angel cards actually have meanings in the bottom of them. And my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend, when she was here, I said I would show her. I said, you see what it says on the bottom of the card? Now, if you notice, what it says a certain thing. But
mm-hmm.
it's also like the books. The books also say this card can mean this, this, and this, and this. It's the idea
right.
of paying attention to your intuition, right? So I was mm-hmm. telling her, I pick up all kinds of information, but, like, I'll get the one where it was called, creative writing. And, you know, people, it's kind of crazy that sometimes with people, it just gives us information about them and their creative writing, poetry. But it could also just saying that the idea of taking, because I read this book, where it was kind of funny, I'd read in a book about a lot of things that you should think about it for a period of time. You should write about it for a period. It was like you were sitting and saying, if you think about it for an hour. If you want to write it for 2 hours. If you want to go any
mm-hmm.
further than that, it was just talking about certain things of focusing. So the creative writing might mean a person should write a book, but it also could mean you should just start a journal and start
right.
focusing on making a difference. But it could also mean creative writing. It could also mean in the process of with you and your business is taking that pad and pencil and start writing down. Just open your mind, ask your angels, okay,
mm-hmm.
I want to come up with some ideals to be more productive, just insights, more direction, more levels, whatever
right.
it is, and just allow yourself to write.
Right.
And also listen to people around you, too. I was sitting at the bus stop tonight, and I was looking for insights, too, myself, to increase on things or just get confirmations for her. I'm sitting there talking to this girl, and she just starts rattling off, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that. That will bring in some customers, and I kind of think about it. And she even caught herself saying, here I am trying to help you get more business, and I really don't know who you are.
Yeah.
But
I understand
but it's the idea. Yeah. Everything in our lives is something as an answer
okay.
or something like that. And I even took it one step further when we had the shop. When I had my first shop with my partner, I sat there and said, every good thing comes to me. And I started testing it, I guess. But I would sit there and nonchalantly just say, we had some neighbors that they went out of business or they retired, basically. And they gave us a horseshoe. So they gave us the Clydesdale horseshoe, big horseshoe. And then they gave us this other horseshoe, which was a continuous horseshoe. And she kind of rattled off a kind of a joke. She goes, here, you should put this one up because you will never run out of luck. It's continuous luck. I
mm-hmm.
said, I would like to know what if this is really something that people, you know, that somebody would use in the process of raising horses, or is it just that, the symbol of luck and that kind of stuff that someone put together? And I said, I was almost like saying, okay, angels, could you like bring the person to me or the information or some kind of opportunity to find out the information? It wasn't 2 days later, a girl walked in to get a reading from me, and she saw that I had it nailed on the wall, and she called it by name. And
okay.
actually what they do is it's a continuous horseshoe that they actually use on lame horses to build up strength in their legs. So I was like, it was like testing it, but it was also bringing to my attention that every freaking thing that walks through that door or walks on my path is an answer to a solution.
Right.
Or insights about myself.
Right.
You've made some really good choices when you sit there and say you're cutting back on certain things and focusing solely on your energy work. And you really should.
Yeah.
Because I feel
we have
it was kind of funny.
Go ahead.
I thought it was kind of funny. I was talking about my friend who is also a healer and doing energy work, who's trying
uh-huh.
to strive how to make money. And I was telling her that she's overthinking it. And she should start doing meditation and focusing and just allowing things to come together. But she's also got herself fixated on right now on money. So she's going to put, so she's been putting herself in a position to make money to compensate, not realizing if she would really focus on the spiritual work and the healing work, she could actually attract more clients and probably solve that money problem quicker by saying, I'm going to attract clients into my life to do what I love to do, so therefore my bills are paid in full.
Right. Well, we have a holistic wellness center where I live, and we have this energetic modality called direct energy transference that was downloaded to my friend who owns the clinic by three spirits, and it was downloaded to her over a period of like 5 months. So that's part of the energetic modalities that I use in conjunction with my healing touch, Reiki, and I do dream analysis and cards and that too. So
really.
Yeah, that's kind of curious. Yeah.
Do you do any readings or anything?
Do I do readings? Yeah, I just did one yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Really? Can you do another one? Anyway. But
maybe we'll have to connect.
Yeah.
We do have a radio program, by the way, too, on Blog Talk Radio.
No. Yeah, okay. I'm just being sarcastic. Anyway.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me any, really. You know, when you start looking at the situation. Now, yesterday, I basically got kind of angry and canceled the show, right in the middle of the show. And people were like, what did you do that for? Because we got overrun with pranks. I mean, the whole queue was nothing but pranking people, just this whole friggin' thing. And I have a tendency. The reason I canceled the show was the idea of taking a break, asking myself a question, how did I attract that? What was the fear that attracted that? Because the first part of the show, for about 20 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, was good. And all of a sudden, we had these people coming in from everywhere, and it was just like, and I think what it was when I got pranked the first time, it just kind of set a chain reaction off. And then my chat room was full of nothing but negative income. That's what the problem is. Anyway, it's just the idea of that you start looking at things, and when things start really kicking off, and the ideal, the solution to the answer to the question I asked myself was, what was it all about, was more along the line of saying, I should never have had a show in the first place. It was the idea of focusing on other things, which I'd actually put the intentions out there of focusing on more income and the things I've already got out there. And I wanted to focus on bringing new clients to me too, to the show, but it was actually emphasizing that I should have been focusing on the websites that I already have and the clients that I already have, which was kind of funny, because it was actually proven many, many times. I've actually made more money on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and ever since then through private clients and the companies I already have in place.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of them actually brings me instant money about every 3 days.
Yeah.
And my clients actually bring me, that was the thing that came up when I told you about the bills. I had a day where I said, the bills are going to be paid off today. I got two bills, I want them done. And by the end of the day, they was. And I was it's kind of funny how that visualization came up. I'm sort of going, okay, I get it. It was the idea of focusing on private clients that I already have and the process of going through, because in the last 2 days, 3 days, I've actually had clients that I hadn't talked to in a while come forward. And then the other ones, who I've also acquired new clients through, not through here. So it was almost like trying to get things in perspective of realizing the show is just to give back.
That's right. It's a tool. It's a tool to expand and inform individuals. You know, if it's a learning tool.
And most of the clients I've gotten through the show was on the days I really didn't say anything. I just sit there and was just doing what I had to do. And a lady came on the show one day and she was like, you should do seminars, because I would definitely show up. Because she said, I like your attitude. You told the last lady flat out, this is the way it is. You didn't freaking put any sugar coating on or nothing, and said, I even told her too. I said, this is the way I look at it. I'm going to tell you the truth, because I feel like with the truth, you're going to have a quicker realization of the person, the situation, and which way you should go in. There's too many people who would have said, well, I want to hurt this person's feelings. Realistically, when you look at the situation, you don't hurt people's feelings. They're just realizations within themselves of the truth. You know, and people say, well, you don't hurt people's feelings. there is a difference. You know, when I sit here and speak the truth, I'm speaking the truth because I want you to know, and I want you to move on. I want you to let it go as soon as possible. But there are people who have a tendency to tell you the truth with the, just the intent of hurting you. That's it. It wasn't telling you the truth, you know?
Yes, I do agree. I do agree. But there is a way to say it that it doesn't have that kind of an impact.
Oh, yeah, we had a lady come on the show, and she was really hard. She was really having a hard time. And she already knew what she needed to do. It was just someone needed to tell her. And it was like she had a daughter and a son. The daughter was pregnant. The son was abusing drugs. And she knew she had to throw him out. But she was also caught up in the whole thing, too, and said, well, my daughter's taking drugs. This is going to hurt the baby and that kind of stuff. And I said, the hardest thing that we have to realize in life, we can't save nobody. We can only change ourselves, and then by changing within ourselves, the things we know we need to do, the reflection we give everybody else also gives them the motivation to do the same. Okay? What she didn't understand was she was like, okay, what if she kills the baby? I said, realistically, she has made decisions to do what she's doing. The son is taking drugs. The son is messing around his wife, girlfriend, whatever. And they're doing all these things. And what you're doing by not throwing them out is enabling them to keep doing the same. You know you need to throw them out. And I said, I guarantee you, if you throw them out, I feel like it was the very first steps for them to realize and to find a way to stand on their own two feet. Believe me, it wasn't something was easy to tell her, but it was the truth. And I was there. I didn't yell at her. I didn't say you're stupid for letting these people stay with you and all kind of stuff like some people would do. It was the ideal of telling her that she already had come up with the ideal. She knew what she needed to do. All she needed to do was follow through. And the ideal, what happens afterward, is the consequences of their actions. She is just the messenger.
Yep, you're right. I suppose I should let you get off and go to your next call-in. So I certainly appreciate
so
everything. Pardon
I'm
me?
Just saying, with your situation, one thing I want to sit and tell you, okay? My thing was, like with my angel cards, I have an angel tarot deck. This one here is the three of Earth, which is actually the three of Pentacles. Okay, so the power of creativity, the recognition for a higher quality of work, which is you, and the ideal of following through with what you know you need to do. You've taken the right steps. You've actually cut back on what you need to cut back and started focusing on what you really need to focus on. Because your healing work and that kind of stuff is not a hobby. It actually is one of those things that is so beneficial at this moment. It also says the idea of being a team player. Now, to those people would sit there and go, does that mean I got to go work for a company or work for something like that and still do the same kind of work? And actually what it's saying is the idea of being a team worker is the idea of listening to yourself and your guides and your angels.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing it's a group effort. And it's the idea of, like most people would say, well, she probably knows that. Yeah, she does. But it's also a confirmation of something she knows too, so she can have you can have the strength and keep knowing you're going in the right direction to put yourself even more into it.
Yeah.
To realize you, like Archangel Michael, is the one that comes to me the most and says you are very well taken care of as you pursue your life purpose.
That's wonderful. I have been calling on him a lot lately, so.
Yeah, I know. And that's a good one, too, because, I mean, shoot, it's the idea of what he represents. The sword can be used for so many things, and the idea of asking Archangel Michael to cut any kind of emotional connections and that kind of stuff. And I think it's kind of funny to tell people that we do get emotionally connected to our jobs.
Yeah.
We get emotionally connected to people and situations that we use for excuses to keep us from what we know we need to do. See, I've always emphasized on that, too. Dr. Wayne Dreyer also is another one, too, and emphasizes, too, that excuses are things that we create to keep us from where we really want to be. With that known, we can also use that as leverage with our freaking boyfriend or girlfriend and say, when they say they don't know what they want, oh, thank you for the excuse. Now I know exactly where you want to be at. You want to be with me. And we have the information to be more confident to say just that. It's like with your situation. It's the idea of having so much confidence in what you know you need to do because of the confidence you have within yourself that, say, for example, your husband or somebody would sit here and say, well, maybe you should be doing something else. You can come back very stern and say, no. I know what I need to do. I know I'm going in the right direction, and I know this is the right path. And if you let me do what I got to do, it won't just benefit me. It'll also benefit you.
I agree with that.
because I don't care what anybody says, when we're in a really positive mode and we're really happy with ourselves, we're happy with everybody else too.
I know. It's hard when you have a foot of snow outside. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, but I look at a foot of snow outside, just use it, just sit there and say, I'm happy and grateful because I have a home business.
Oh, yeah.
As long as the power's going, the phones are working.
Yeah, no kidding. The phone's working. There's food on the table. Absolutely.
Heck yeah, exactly. I just opened a shop up here, too, and it was one of the situations of, I was telling this person, I was like, when I sit here and talk about things, I'm not bragging. I'm giving you insights to things that I've accomplished to help you realize in the process of what I've manifested, it's the same energy you can use too as well. Because when I got I had this shop back in 2006. So when I moved back to Colorado, that was the first thing I wanted to get, my shop back. Well, when I checked it out, people come and tell me that the city didn't recognize it as a retail space anymore. It's pretty small. It's about 5x6. They've actually been classifying it as the smallest shop in Manitou Springs. Anyway, and I was sitting there
going,
I don't care. I get so much positive energy. And it's one of those things that when you're in the right place, when you love what you do, and you know you're in the right place doing what you love to do, there are signs everywhere. And I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I was like, okay, I checked the shop out. They said you can't have it. Right now, I sit there every day because I did get it back. And it was the key in that manifestation was they told me I couldn't have it. Did I give up on it? I said no. As I was walking away, I would sit there and say, no, that's my shop, and I want my shop. That's mine. I got it. And I forgot all about it. And then like a month and a half ago, I just got a prompting to go visit Manitou Springs because it's in a vortex. It's a very spiritual good energy, but it's in the mountains. Mm-hmm. I love hiking, so I was going up there moving around. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone, and I just happened to look up, and there's a for rent sign above the door. And I was like, I got to call you back. And she goes, why? I said, I'll tell you when I call you back. I got to call you back. Because I saw the number, and I called the lady immediately. You know, and it was like, this happened in March, last year in March. And I said, okay. So I called the number. Next thing I know, an impossibility became a reality. Great example of manifestation, that you can manifest anything you want to. If it's destined to happen, I guarantee you when you put the energy into it, it will happen, because I just proved it. So there was this place up here that I wanted to move into because it would put me about 2 blocks from the shop compared to a bus ride, or if I wanted to walk, it was a 20-minute walk. So I checked the place out to try to get back in there, and even that seemed like an impossibility. Until last week, well, it was like the week before Christmas, a friend of mine prompted me to go across the street and just fill an application out and see what happens. And she said, I see you living there. She would even say, when you move into your new apartment, we can work on that book. And that's before I even applied for it, right? And it was so quick, as we talk about signs, right? So I went in there. I filled an application out on Saturday. I was approved by Tuesday.
And when did you move in by?
I moved in 2 days later. Because this was another thing, too. I didn't have the money to move in. And I would. I mean, the money was there. I just had to wait for it to be deposited, which usually it's deposited on the 22nd. And I sit there and started focusing on the 19th. That money was actually deposited on the 19th, 3 days before it was supposed to be. Because it's usually, it's never been more than 2 days, like the 20th. So I was sitting there focused. I want to move in there as soon as possible, right? So it was like almost like the very next day, the money was there. For some reason, I got a prompt to go check the account, right? And I was like, whoa, the money's there. Let's go get it, go. So I went and told the lady, I called her up and said, I want to move in now. She goes, oh, you got the money? Yes. So I did the whole freaking thing, the leases, everything. Next thing I was moving in, I didn't really have anybody I could actually help get to move the stuff at the time, so I started packing the stuff on the bus, piece by piece. But all these things were all in the place. Yes, and I was telling a friend of mine, like, this was another impossibility that became a reality. I also met some girl in the same month of March that came up as an impossibility, and some people have even said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, it doesn't matter what you know. I was going to talk to my friend of mine. I said, I think the shop is like the key to the whole thing, that she's going to show up out of the blue. I said, I know I said some things to her that you would take as being hurtful, but they were also reality moves, too, of me speaking the truth. And just all these other things. And I said, I've always seen it's like I've seen these situations where people speak their mind and they think, okay, you hurt that person's feeling or something happened, that they'll never talk again. And you, if you do a lot of research on the things on relationships like that, you'll find out that those were the key components that when they got back together, they actually even had a better relationship because of the truth that was spoken. That the other person had an awakening because they were denying and lying, but the other person refused to do that. So they, you know, the one person's like, this is what I see. So I'm sitting there talking about the thing about them coming to the shop. I feel like it's going to happen. This one lady says, in this chat room I was working on, said, that's just wishful thinking. I said, really? I'll take the wishful thinking. She goes, really? I said, yeah, because I just pulled a card out of my deck. It says, wishes come true. So I said, okay, wish comes, it says your wish comes true. Okay, specifies. You're sitting there saying something on the negative side, but you're also giving me advice based on a worldly concept. That if you don't keep in contact with people, they forget about you. I said, if that person forgets about you, it's also a sign to you to say it's time to move on because what you thought you had, you didn't because they forgot all about you. So I guarantee you, true connections, people don't forget. I saw a lady, I had a girlfriend when I was younger that I remember this one time, I was thinking about her for 2 weeks. I hadn't seen her for like 15 years. And I was thinking about her, and I ran into the girl in a carryout in the middle of nowhere. So what's the idea? So it's telling everybody, if you're destined to cross paths, if I was you, I would get yourself in a really good state of mind so that when it happens, you don't go, and you don't know what to say because it crossed your path. But that's what happened. I met this girl, and I thought, maybe did she forget about me? Did I make an impression on her? Because the relationship really didn't end on a good note. And as soon as I walked in that carryout, her first words was, Donnie, and just staring at me. I'm sitting there going, I think it's kind of like a confirmation. But she didn't forget about me, and I did make an impression. I think sometimes when we have connections like that, that's all they're for, is just to answer the question. And it did.
Yeah.
Because I never saw her again after that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got this other situation with this girl I met back in March. I was telling everybody, she's the one. She's going to show up at my shop. I said, as soon as she shows up at that shop and we start talking, I said, for some reason, I get this really strong feeling it's going to go right into a relationship right then and there. Where it's going to be an agreement that we're going to actually sit there and look at each other and go, okay, we have some issues and fears, but just confront those and just do this and see where it goes. And I was like, whoa. Okay, and people were like, really? You see that? Psychics can't really read themselves. I said, bullshit. I said, I can't sit there and tell somebody to listen to themselves and not listen to myself. It's a contradiction.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, I never thought about that. Yeah, I know, you didn't, so I'm helping you out. Anyway, So I sit there and said, that's the thing. One side tells me beyond a shadow of a doubt, and then I started thinking about all these other impossibilities that happened in March that are now reality. How can I not look at those as signs of what's coming? Because now I have the apartment, I have the location, I have the shop. Who says I can't have the girl?
Okay, Donnie.
Yes.
My phone is dying, and I do not have a charger right next to it, and I don't want it to die, and you thinking I'm just blowing you off, because I'm not.
Oh, no problem.
I just
okay.
checked it, and it's got an X on it, so.
Mm-hmm. I'm just
awesome.
Saying to you, in the situations like that, nothing is impossible, so go for it.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate the time you spent with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Have a wonderful night.
Happy New Year.
You too.
All right. Oh, shoot,
good night.
Good night. Let's see. We have 37 minutes left in the show, and it's now 12:22 p.m. Mountain Time here in Manitou Springs, Colorado. It's now December 29th. We're getting close to the first of the year. Happy New Year's. Okay, so therefore, I'm your host, Psychic X Journeyman. And this is my show, Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link. And you see that with the situation of the last caller, we do take the time it needs for each person. I'm just saying the idea of being patient, be great. All right, see if we got anybody else hanging out. Let's go to another caller. I'm trying to get these things going, and that one just kind of like freaking weirded me out. It's not working. Hold up. See if we get this thing back a little bit more. Trying to get this thing to flash back to get the switchboard back up and again. So I guess while we're waiting for that sticker to pop in, let's go check on. There's somebody in the chat room was talking about something. Let's see. see. Check your PM. Check my late. Okay. No, it came back up. I was just trying to get this thing slid over a little bit. All right. Okay, area code 205. Welcome to the show. How are you and what's your name?
This is Robbie.
This is Robbie?
Uh-huh.
Well, how are you?
I'm good. I just had a question. I wanted to see what the angels had to say about my relationship. I had a broken relationship about 2 months ago, and it's still hard to move on, but I'm trying. I've met a new guy, and he's not the old guy, but he's nice. And I just want to see if what they see for me happening, if I'm going to go back or go forward.
That's one of the situations, the fear. What's the fear? You broke up with the last guy. What did you guys break up for?
Well, he just broke my heart. We never really had a committed relationship, but he started dating another girl, and so it was not the first time. And even though we didn't have a committed relationship, I felt in some ways we did. So it's a long, drawn-out thing, but I just decided I couldn't be hurt like that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the one thing I could pick up the most is, yeah, I do that. Learn from the experience that when you get into a situation that you feel is a commitment, you're right. It doesn't matter what people say or don't. It's the idea of what it is and the idea of what he committed to. Not to sit there and pry or nothing, but in the process of the situation, you did have a physical relationship with him too, right? Correct?
No, it was platonic.
Hmm. Okay. So there was no... Please try to explain to people about it. What is an intimate relationship? Do you know what an intimate relationship is?
It was not sexually intimate, but it was personally intimate.
So therefore, it was a commitment. He committed to
We shared everything together. I mean, we had Bible study, and we helped each other financially, and we exchanged furniture, and, I mean, you know, our lives were just completely intertwined.
So therefore, it was a relationship, and it was a committed relationship.
To me, it was, but he'd always say he just wanted friendship.
Okay, I understand that. But you're asking for a message from the angels. I'm just saying, they're saying to you, what you thought it was actually the reality of what it really was. It was him trying to determine with his own fears of not allowing himself to commit completely, which was also an illusion because he did.
Okay.
So you look at the situation, don't look at it as betrayal. Look at the situation of a person who couldn't do it. It's like the idea of focusing on a person who didn't portray you, but betrayed himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, will he want to come back? Well, will he come back and
the
maybe
angels, the angels, that's true, sweetie, but what they're doing right now is the idea you don't want to do what he did. If you're involved with somebody right now, the biggest thing I keep picking up on the situation is you should commit to the situation and see where it's going to go. Not in the idea of hoping somebody comes back, because realistically, in the process, what the angels are saying, do not fall into the illusion, because it's not happening until he crosses your path in the process of where you can actually have the opportunity to have that conversation. Then you have to sit there and look at the situation, what's been presented to you. That's something that's very potential. It's the ideal. Also be respectful to this guy that you're with. And what that means is you don't compare him to no one. You see him for who he is. Because
right.
Every time you don't see it, because if you can't see him for who he is, that means you are not seeing yourself for who you are. The other person's not a part of your life right now. Okay? And with that said, this other person is, and he needs the respect, and he needs what you didn't get from the other one. Prove to yourself, can you give the commitment too? I know you can. I'm just saying, you need this new person in your life, you need to give him what you want. because you have a funny feeling with the situation, he'll give you back more than the other one did, and you will also start seeing the other person for who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just because you loved him. Okay, you still love him, I know. But you have to understand one thing, too. When people cross our paths, realistically, we never stop loving anybody because we are loving people. We are pure love and spirit, okay? So when you start to look at the situation like that, he's not. So this other guy's not being totally true to himself until he is. Then you would sit and consider the situation if you could have a relationship with him, but only if you're not with somebody else. See, that's the universe has a tendency, God, angels, and everybody have a tendency to present situations to you and opportunities, but it won't be, but it's always a perfect win-win situation. So that means if he crosses your path again, then the sign for you would be, should we be together, would mean that you would be single and so would he. It's not the idea of being with somebody. It's not the idea of being with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then he crosses his path, and you're like, okay, what should I do? It's obvious. You respect your priorities. You respect yourself and say, okay, I would never do that to nobody else. So when an ex presents, it's kind of funny how when an ex comes back in our lives, we have a tendency to compromise our principles and our morals, not realizing it's a sign telling us, why are we denouncing ourselves to get back with somebody? It's still telling us they're not good for us. Because we're doing things out of character, and we should be honoring the relationship that we're already in, and that's why I get here. You know, that's the biggest message I get. This guy that you're with now needs to have that full commitment and see where it goes.
Okay. Well, I like him, and we've gone out once and been talking on the phone some, and I really like him. It's just letting go of the past, and that's what I've got to do.
Well, what you do? Well, when you start committing to yourself and committing to this person you're with, and the idea of conversations and talking and that kind of stuff, and just allow yourself to be there, you'll start realizing that you probably look back and realize you let go of it without any kind of effort. You just decided to focus on one that was actually really good for you.
Right.
Because you let go of something, another thing too, I can hear the fear, like, okay, but like you think in some ways if you let it go completely, you think you might be like you're a mean person. When realistically, all you're doing is just letting go of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. I got it. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling. You have a great night and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out something here. All right, let's go to area code 352. Welcome to the show. How are you? And what's your name?
My name's Andrea.
Andrea? And where are you calling from?
Florida.
352, where's that at?
Sister Springs, Florida. It's like near Ocala.
Did you say Silver Springs?
It's near Silver Springs. It's, like, boring here, but it's, like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's, like, small.
We went down there, what was it? We went to, I have cousins live in Jacksonville. I've lived in St. Petersburg, Gulfport, Sarasota, Jacksonville, Daytona, and actually a place called Holly Hill, which is, like, a suburb of Daytona Beach. When we were in Florida, we went to this place where they have these glass-bottom boats. Near Silver Springs.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
Yeah, me too. You know, when you're 10 years old, it kind of freaks you out, the glass, you know, we're singing. Anyway.
That's the last time I went.
Mm-hmm. So you're in Florida. Okay.
Yes.
So how can we help you?
I wanted to get, like, a general reading. I want to just know, like, okay, I have, like, less than 3 months, basically, probably, like, three to four months, my lease is up, and my thing I want to do is own my own house, and I want to know if you see a move, am I going to be happy, am I going to continue to be stressed?
Okay. No, you just cut me in the middle of a yawn.
No, sorry.
No, I was just sitting there going, and I was like, the first thing I got was the ideal that it's crucially important to allow the ideal of opportunities of moving. Because you almost get the impression that it doesn't really matter where you move, just as long as you get out of the area you're in. It seems like there's just this energy about the situation, a lot of drama. It's also talking about the idea of letting go of expectations. I like my friend was talking about, she wants to move. She wants to get out of there. She's got so many days to get out of there, and she's freaking out. You know, she doesn't know the law, basically. She's like, okay, this is crazy how people do this when they focus on this worldly bullshit. And it was like she has $1,045, and she's freaking out because she says she wants to give it to her present landlord to pay him what he needs or what she owes him. At the same time, she said, how am I going to save up the money to get to move and get away from here? And I said, this is the way it is. It's the idea of looking at the facts, not looking at a false sense of responsibility, okay? Now, the false sense of responsibility says she feels like she should pay the guy money because she owes it to him. But on the other side, he's caused nothing but havoc since she's been there. He's never done anything. He's never fixed anything. There's actually mold in the place. So when you start looking at these facts, you start realizing the crucially important thing to do here is to let go of the expectations of what the world says you should do. And you should look at what's in the best interest of you. And realistically, she needs to take the $1,000 and go somewhere else. Okay?
Yeah.
But when I sit here and talk about expectations, it's the ideal she found a place. And then she starts basically denouncing it by saying, well, it's too far, it's out of town, it's out of middle of nowhere. So she's using excuses. And then she says, well, I guess if I don't find a place, then I'm going to be living in a shelter. But if you look at the situation, if she ends up in a shelter, it's because that's her choice. Okay, if you're going to choose to still feed into struggling and drama and crazy and stressing yourself out, even if you move, you're going to do the same. You're just going to find another place with the same results. So it's the idea of looking at the situation, change your perception, and go, okay, I need to take this money, get away from here, and get myself into a good situation. And when you look at the things she was describing, I think it's the idea we need friends who can say, no, if you're out in the middle of nowhere and they say you want to start doing psychic work, it's perfect. You don't have to deal with neighbors or outside influences. I've had to deal with freaking trucks because the walls are so thin that I can't hear a person when I'm doing a reading on the phone. And I was like, she saw them as negatives. I came back and looked at her and said, look at all the positive things and the idea of being in this place. Just the idea of moving changes the energy to more of a positive, so therefore it will probably change your perception where you have a better outcome. Even if you do have to move, that means one good move be another. Because you're going to move into another place, which I feel like you'll be renting again. And I feel like in a year. I'm just saying, with the things I keep picking up on, if I keep telling everybody, just listen to what I'm saying. Don't sit there and say no. Just sit there and take the information for what it is, because once you take that information in, then you can take that no and you can actually use the information you obtained as leverage to get what you want. You can change the future real quick. Okay, I'm just telling you what I see now. If you don't like that, it's basically telling you that you can still change it. But they're also saying if you allow yourself to be in another renting situation for at least a year, it's a springshot into a house of ownership.
I will be renting next.
Yeah, it's like the idea. There's an opportunity that's it's like aligning you up in the process of allowing yourselves. The thing I get the most, too, is the idea of allowing yourself. It's the idea of listening to your intuition, the way it's going to take you. People think that's kind of crazy, but I don't. And I'll tell you why. I was living in Florida. I was living in Daytona Beach, and I was working for one of those spot labor places. I was going out to the landfill all the time, working. And I had constant work all the time. But then I started getting cysts because of the chemicals we were working around. Okay, so I asked and said, okay, God and angels, I like the money, that kind of stuff, but I like being in a situation where it's more safer. It's still money. And then the next thing I know, I wasn't going, it was kind of funny, too, because they didn't send me out again. And then I started thinking about the situation, going, okay, I did ask to be somewhere different. And by allowing myself not to go out there anymore, I didn't want to sit in that place and not work, but but it also was one of those fears I had to confront, saying, well, I'm being lined up for something else. So, and I tell people your intention and your intuition is very important, because what I did was, this happened for like 2 or 3 days. My landlord was like, don't worry about it. You know, when you get a job, you just pay for what you pay what you owe. No big deal. I said, okay, so I relaxed. I went to my room, and I was like, okay, guys, I like to have a freaking job, a nice job, inside, because it's going to get cold, chilly, inside for at least 6 months. So, as always, I always grab my spiritual books and started reading, looking for affirmations and stuff. And as I opened this book, it had a business card in it of a place I applied for 2 months prior, which I didn't get, because I think they canceled second shift or something because they didn't have enough people. So this card falls out into my lap. I got a strong prompting from my intuition to call that number, and I did, and I had a job in 20 minutes. So the idea of listening to your intuition, where you're going to move to, it's like that. Just listen, and you'll know exactly where to go and what to do. It's like finding a place and how it resonates with you, not looking at anything else besides that. Because a lot of people have a tendency to go, well, the rent's $1,200, and it's in a great neighborhood, and I'm not sure if I actually deserve this or I can even pay for it. The idea of saying I can't pay for it, I don't think, is the idea of saying I don't think I deserve this. So what you do is you change the format of your perception and say, no, I deserve this. And then watch the universe give you the opportunity to do so. I was actually in St. Petersburg, and I just happened to catch a house out of the corner of my eye. And 2 days before that, I said, oh, we got the money. If we could just find somebody who would realize we don't have jobs, but we got the money and give us a month to get on our feet, we'll be okay. Two days later, I found a place like that. It was a big four-bedroom house. It was like $1,200 a month. And my girlfriend at the time was like, you think we can afford this? I said, I know we can. I just have a funny feeling that once we put ourselves in there, a lot of opportunities are going to happen where it's all going to fall into place. So we called the guy up. We went to go look at it. And he walked out. It was kind of funny, too, because we told him we didn't have jobs, that she had just started a job in like 2 days. I had a business. I was trying to get going again. And the whole thing. I said, but we got the money. All you got to do is tell us when we can move in, that kind of thing like that. So I wasn't too sure I was going to go. All of a sudden, the old dude goes out to the front yard, takes it from inside, and throws it in the garage. And we got together 2 more days to actually sign the leases. And then what's kind of funny, too, was the idea of listening to your intuition and prompting. We never paid what we thought we was going to pay to move in. I was told just to bring $1,800. I think $1,850 instead of the $2,300 we needed to move in with deposits and everything. The prompting came to me. It says, just bring $1,850. So I told my girlfriend to go to the bank and get $1,850 out. She goes, you sure I shouldn't get $2,300? I said, no. Just go get $1,850. I said, for some reason, my guides and angels are telling me just to do that. And she goes, okay, no problem. She goes, every time that happens, you know, a miracle happens, so I'm going to listen. And she went and did what she, you know, she went and did it. So we're sitting talking to this guy. He was Ukrainian, so he didn't speak English much. And every time I tried to push the issue by saying, you know, we need to clean this place up. We need to do this and this and this. You should knock off some money off the rent. See, I was pushing it. As soon as I stopped doing that and just told the guy what I wanted to do to the house, where we want to, we just said, I need to paint the rooms. My, I guess you would say my stepdaughter at the time, she didn't like pink, so we had to paint that room. I said I wanted to paint the outside. I was just telling all the things I wanted to do to the house and all the electrical work needed to be replaced. And that's all I said to him. I said, I'll just replace all that stuff, no big deal. So the old dude comes back later on and says, you owe us money. But he said, if you do all that work on the house, you owe me nothing. Just move in. And I was like, okay. When I tried to push the issue, it wasn't really falling into place. But as soon as I let go of it and listened to my angels and said, okay, I was prompted just to bring $1,850, and they did the rest of the stuff. Next thing you know, a guy who was really stern on money changed his attitude because he was influenced by the angels to do so, to give us a break. So when you manifest things, it's not the idea of focusing on just manifesting the house. It was also manifesting the people that work with you. That was a great neighborhood, too. It was very quiet, good neighbors, the whole thing. I mean, just everything I'd written down in my journal, you can see it laying itself right out there. So it was just, it's still, to me, those things just freak me out when they fall into place like that. With you, it's the same that I keep getting to. You just, you're going to move. You also want to get a house. So that's your intentions. It's the ideal. I feel like you should, if you don't already, you should sit there and get your journal and start writing it in your journal exactly how you want this to play out. And I think the idea that the timing changes on everything of moving from where you're at to actually moving to a place that you own. I'm just telling you what
I
see when I first start talking to you.
Yeah, I kind of get discouraged, though, because, you know, I started, like, you know, like I looked for places and things like that. And then I'm thinking, damn, I forgot I had student loans out that I never went to the bank and tried anything, but I had student loans out from when I went to school, and then I got, you know, I'm not able to work anymore, so I'm disabled now for the time being. So it's like, ugh, if I can pay $800 in rent, I think I could pretty much handle our, you know, I can handle, you know, and that's what I'm, you know, I was trying to get basically. I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying it's kind of funny that all the stories I can tell you all happened in Florida. The house happened in Florida. The job happened in Florida. And you're sitting here talking about loans and stuff like that, okay? Another thing happened to me when I was in Florida when I got my driver's license. I went to motor vehicles. I walked to the door, and all I said was, I'm getting my license, and I'm walking out here with my license. I didn't care about anything else. I didn't focus on nothing else. I didn't sit there and say, well, maybe I have some tickets, or maybe, you know, and it was plus at the same time, I hadn't, my license that I thought were expired for 3 years. I walked into a motor vehicles. I told the lady I want to get my license, and I walked out with my driver's license. Now, the first thing that kind of freaked me out in the process of a miracle is my license had been, from my perspective, had been expired for 3 years. And almost any state now you go to, if your license had been expired for that length of time, you have to go through the whole process. First of all, I didn't. But the miracle part that came in afterwards was I went back to Ohio where I originally had my license where I'm originally from and found out my license had been revoked for 6 years. So realistically, I should never get my license at all. And this wasn't the day. This wasn't the age of computers because this was just not too long ago. And I got my license. How did I get my license? That was my intent. My focus was entirely on that outcome, nothing else. I never allowed myself to focus on any kind of fears. So every time I sit and focus on you, as the messages from the angels are saying, forget the world. The world will tell you all kinds of good things because they want you to feed into that. But the world is set up for lack of limitation. It's set up for failure, to not get what you want because of everybody around you has that perception. Even you in some way have that perception too. So you have this kind of wavering back and forth. It's one of those fears you need to confront and face. And how you're going to do that is, I guarantee you, if you focus on the situation and you manifest this thing the way you want it to, I guarantee your perception will change and you will start thinking about what you can do instead of thinking about what you can't. And when you start doing that, you start seeing step by step by step your life changing for the better. Because 2013 is like, a reawakening for a lot of people on their perceptions of what they can do, which is going to reflect. And the more we do that, even government sucks because government is basically the ideal saying you can't do it on your own. You got to help us. We have to help you. See how it focuses on lack of limitation. So when you sit there, that's why I forget everything. That's why I don't vote. I try to pretend the government doesn't exist. You know, it's like, oh, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Government? I don't know what it is. But, you know, when you start, because the first thing I started doing that changed my perception and changed the energy in my life, I stopped watching TV, as in news. I used to watch my grandmother every freaking day, religiously, three times a day, watch the news.
See, I don't.
So you keep doing that.
It's not really good.
No, it's not good at all because it's all drama. It's all dictated. So what I'm saying to you is the ideal of realizing you've made some really good steps, just keep going. And your smoke detector is getting on my nerves. Anyway.
I know. I it's so tall, I can't even reach it. They were supposed to come and change those things, and I don't even know. I can't even get up there myself because it's all the way up there on the wall. I mean, like, it's you would need a ladder, and I don't have a ladder. So, sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was sitting here going. I think a lot of people have to understand, too, that sometimes when you buy cheap smoke detectors or they use those smoke detectors like that, the way they're designed, even when you put new batteries into things, that noise, it has a tendency, once it starts doing that, it keeps doing it. It doesn't matter how many batteries you put in the damn thing.
I know, and he was supposed to come out and do a lot of things, and, yeah, it's like pulling teeth with them. So, I'm reading in the chat, someone said that I'm going to be going into an apartment and then she is going to go to an apartment, then a house.
Yeah, because that's what I picked up too. But see, the one thing I was one thing I do to people, okay, when the ideal manifestation is the ideal is to change circumstances, change things, okay, to change things for the better. You're in a situation where there are certain things that are just not happening. So therefore, it's not really beneficial for you to stay there. That's why I feel like the solution is coming to change the whole thing. Because people around you, the situations, landlords, that kind of stuff, are not willing to really follow through. And I felt the same way. I always felt like it was alignment to put you in a situation where you could actually, once you go from that apartment, you'll actually be moving into a house of your own. But it's also the ideal that your perception has not changed in some sense, where you worked on a lot of things, but you're still thinking there's blocks. Okay, so it's the ideal changing your perception and realize there's no blocks. The only thing that's keeping you from what you really want is you. So when you change that perception and realize that, then you start realizing I can do what I want. Because, I mean, we did the same thing. It was amazing. The ex-girlfriend, she was actually an ex-fiance. But it was kind of funny how no matter how many miracles she saw in the process of me focusing on what I wanted, she still had that perception that was constantly working against her, where she was even the ideal messing around, having an affair, was the ideal feeding into the lack of worth. That she felt like she needed to do those things. She felt like she wasn't worthy of a great relationship. So she would actually create these freaking what do you call those things, kids? throw a wrench into the works. And she was always finding things to do that. So she needed to work on herself. So see, there's nothing I can do, because I come and giving her examples. Like one example we had was, we were coming home from taking her daughter to camp. On the way back, we had a flat tire. The bad thing about it was the spare that we had, the vehicle was so old, the spare was actually rusted into the frame. So we couldn't get it out.
Eesh.
Plus, we had no jack or nothing, right? It was on a Sunday where everything's supposed to be closed. And I said, you know something? No, there has to be an easier way. There has to be a solution. So we walked back to a carryout, where they're talking to people about the whole thing, and say what happened. We had a flat tire and that kind of stuff. And it's kind of funny, we're worried about gas getting home, and we have a flat. We only had $20 on us, too. So I'm sitting looking at the situation. So we decided to go back there. We're talking to people and have a good time, right? And this old guy came out of nowhere. And I always think these people are like angels, because they just come out of nowhere, and then when the situation's done, they disappear. And this old guy came out of nowhere, and he said, what size tire do you think you have? And I said, well, why? He said, well, I think I might have some tires in my barn. So I said, okay, no problem. I told him what size it was and everything. And then he disappeared. So we're all sitting there talking and stuff. And the kids are driving us nuts because we're in a carryout, so they want candy and stuff. And then 20 minutes had passed by. The guy pops in the door and says, you're ready to go. And I said, what do you mean we're ready to go? He said, yes. He said, I found that tire in my barn, but it was also on a rim. It had some air in it, so all you have to do is put some air in it, and you're ready to go. He put it on the van and everything.
Wow.
So it's like, so when you sit there and open the door and you forget about it, it's amazing how the solution presents itself in a very great way, because I was like, whoa. And I looked at the guy and said, because remember, we only had $20. And I was thinking, too, I was like trying to get myself from thinking about anything else, but I did think about a tire is going to cost this much. We don't have a rim either. We don't have to have a rim. And then they usually charge you for the ideal mounting and all kind of good stuff, right? So I was thinking, no, no, no. I stopped and said, no, we're not going to think that. There has to be an easier way. When I do that, I said, there has to be an easier way. I want to be with this girl. I want to be in a relationship with this person. And then I started thinking about fears, and I stop and say, no, there has to be an easier way. So I'm telling the universe, I'm opening myself up to that easy way. I don't have to determine what it is. It just happens. And that's what happened there. It was kind of funny, too, because we just went and put some air in the tire, looked at the guy, and I said, how much do I owe you? And he said, It was kind of funny. He just looked at me and says, $20 should be good. And I was like, that's kind of creepy. That's exactly what I had. So everything fell in place. We wasn't really that far from, I think we were like 20 or 30 minutes from home. So we got there on an empty tank, but we got there. So all we had to do was, and I think there was other things I had gotten too. I think I had a check coming in or something. And we just had to make it back to the house. And it was set on E. But even that situation, I was like, okay. I knew where the gas station was, so I was heading to Oak Angels. I knew the gas station's not that far away, but it'd get us there. And I was actually able to cash a check in town, I think, too. So that's everything fell into place, not just that one place, but it's amazing when you just let go and allow how things fall into place so nicely.
It's funny how you say write. Yeah, it's funny how you say write in the journal, because I do have one, a little notebook journal thing, and I keep it, and I do write in it sometimes, and then I get these great ideas, and then I put it down. And then I go back once in a while, and I do write in it. But
get it to a point where you at least give yourself 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes every day. And if you don't write in it, try to remember what you had written in there and try to recall it within your mind. And when you start feeling down, just tell yourself, this is a good one. Just sit there and bow your head and say, I am love. Now, you know, that's not self-centeredness. What you're doing is you're tapping into the source, which is God. And you're saying, I am love. And the I am is God. So it's just like, it's just the idea of, it makes you feel good about yourself, so therefore you realize the connections you thought maybe you didn't have. It's always been there. It's just the idea of acknowledgement. And there are days when we don't write in our journals, but it doesn't mean you can't set an intention out. Because again, if you've been writing your journal for a couple of weeks, you pretty much remembered it. So you just remember it and then try to put the feelings to it. I mean, just the idea of thinking about how would you feel if something came tomorrow where you could actually move into a place and actually buy it, and it would be yours. And the idea of visualizing yourself in the house, how would you feel?
Happy, real happy.
I'm just saying, when I started talking about visualizing and using your imagination, it's the idea of realizing that when we manifest things and we're living those manifestations, it's not the visual that we notice the first, it's the feeling. We're happy. You know, we're freaking out, going, well, I got my driver's license, and I walked out of that motor vehicles. I felt very good. Strong feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah, crazy, because they usually don't do that.
No, they don't. And it was kind of funny. Everybody asked me the same question, too. How'd you get your driver's license? I said, who cares? I did, and here they are. Well, I got to renew those things, too. The houses, it was like houses. I mean, when she bought her van, it was the same thing. I was sitting there talking to this guy, and he wanted $1,500 for it. And he started talking about the things that were wrong with it. And I was focusing in my mind, he needs to sell us that van for $1,350. And it was kind of funny. About 2 minutes later, after I said that in my mind, he said, well, there are some things wrong with it. It needs a tire. And the one switch with the heater and stuff is kind of like out of whack. And one of the light switches is not working either, so maybe I should sell it to you for $13.50. I about fell off the porch. I didn't tell her that. I didn't tell him that either. I was just thinking it in my mind. He needs to sell us that van for $13.50. And he did. So don't underestimate yourself. You want to buy a house? Then focus on the situation, the opportunity. I'm just saying the situation, if things present themselves, it's the idea of accepting, you know, make a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of your desire, that you might go through certain things in the process of getting exactly what you want, that you might have to go to another apartment, but realizing this is just the first step of getting exactly what I want. No more settling. Okay?
Okay. Also, I was wondering, do you see... I remember someone told me once before, they see a baby around me, And I said, I don't know how you're seeing I'm pregnant because that ain't happening here. I go, wait, I know you hear that a lot, but seriously, I'm telling you, that can't happen. Do you see that anywhere?
Yeah, we had that one. We had that one story where a lady was sitting there saying she had her. There's this technique I've heard. Instead of getting your tubes tied, it's called tube stuffing or something like that, where they basically seal everything off, and it's better. It's supposed to be better than surgery. But the lady had the procedure done, and a year later she gave birth to a baby girl. So it's kind of deal looking at the situation and going, when it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. The situation with you is like, I can see not just one, but I can actually see two around you. It is one of those things that takes some time to figure out what it is. It could also be a connection to other children you should have had if you still have the spirits with you.
Yeah, I was supposed to have one. I have three now, but I was supposed to have four.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a miscarriage. And I had a hysterectomy due to health problems, and that's one of my health problems. So that's why I was saying, I don't know where you see that at.
Understand that, but you look in the Bible. Sarah, before she had John the Baptist, she was basically, she was, dormant? She was... there was no way she could have children. I think she was also like 90 years old, maybe a little bit older than that, and she had John the Baptist. Yeah. I'm just saying, with the situation, it's like I would ask your angels, is this going to happen? And actually, I always tell people, when you focus and meditate and you connect with God, angels, and those kind of things, they don't have any motives except for you. Not like some people, when you ask your friend, that a lot of times when you ask a friend a question, they have motives. Maybe their fears they still hanging on to or something like that, or the question you ask them taps into their fears. So, you know, sometimes you got to watch the information to get there, too. And it comes to humans and that kind of stuff. When you sit there and said the spirit, I saw two around you. Did I get any kind of indication, any kind of indication about birth? No.
Yeah, and because another thing is that, like, I don't know, okay, this is what happened to me. My nephew got a girl pregnant, and she called us. It was actually a year from now. It was last year. By this time, she was like, I'm pregnant by Dre, and I'm going to have his baby, but I'm going to give it up for adoption. So I'm like, oh, no, you know, just let me have him. I'll take care of him. She ended up keeping the baby. She was going to give him to me. She didn't want to give him to my sister because she lived all the way in Indiana. And anyway, she was going to give him to me. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And my boyfriend's like, you ain't bringing no baby up in this house. So after he got to know Jariah, I kept him because he's in our life now. He's like, wow, he's such a good baby. He doesn't mind him coming over or anything like that. And I'm kind of sort of, that is one of my things. I'm like, I know he's probably not going to like it at first, but that and, you know, I looked into it before, adopting a baby, and it is expensive, a baby, because, like, you have to give the girl, like, you have to pay for her expenses. And she has at any moment, she can tell you, now I changed my mind. And I don't mind giving. I really am not, you know, a stingy person. If I have it, I got it. I give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, right now, the way the bills are and everything right now, that's why I was trying to figure out, was I supposed to adopt? Because that's in itself expensive. Unless I won the lottery, which I don't play, so.
You can't win if you don't play. Okay, it's like a commercial, right? I used to love the Florida lottery because, I mean, shoot, if you got, what was it? you go down pretty far. If you get three numbers right, four numbers right. I think it was down.
You get pretty good.
Actually, with one lottery player, I wouldn't miss for everybody else winning, too. I would have got more, but $100 was good. I've done that a couple of times, and I've done the scratch-offs a couple of times where I just walk in, get a feeling about a scratch-off. I buy two, win on the first one. I don't know why I always buy two, but I always win on the first one. And then lately, it's always $50.
Yeah.
So we need to up that.
I scratched off. I was like, okay, get three scratch-offs, and I won a dollar off of that one three scratch-off. So I got my dollar back. Actually, I paid $2 for a scratch-off. But
I just go through this thing like this. I go in there, and I have a feeling. I don't think about nothing else. Okay, I go with it. I go down there. Every time I've done that, I got $50. One I did was a girlfriend was saying, give me some numbers, and let's go pick three or pick four. I think it was pick three. And we won $100. It was really funny, too, because when I sit there and talk to her, we went in, she played it, she came back out, we left. And then next day, I was like, oh, we got to go check on this. She goes, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So we go down to the gas station to check the numbers. She comes out crying. I was like, oh, we lost. She goes, no, we won. I've never won anything. Well, there you go. First time for everything, huh? So we won $100 off pick three. And just before we broke up and she did something really, it's amazing how people have a tendency when they feel something good's going to happen, that their self-doubt and the work, you know, kind of puts them in a situation where they throw a wrench into it. And we were focusing. We had gotten lottery tickets. And what my game is to basically portray yourself like you've already won it. Okay, so what we did was we played the lottery. We came home and told the three kids that we had won the lottery. And what's so good about the whole thing is you're not lying to them. What you're trying to do is kids go right into the mode of writing the list of all the things they want, which is very positive energy. So my mindset was on focusing. I've done this before, too. I did this when I was trying to get a raise when I was working for the carnival. I wanted to go from $350 to $400. So what I did for 2 weeks was, I think it was about a week or 2 weeks, what I would do is do a little freaking talking to myself saying, Donnie, how much do you make a week? I said, I make $400 a week. You make $400 a week? Yes, $400 a week. See, it's resonating, and your vibration is going up. And I kept on doing this. And then every time someone asked me how much you make a week, I would say, I make $400. What you're doing is you're setting the intentions like you're living it. Because you keep focusing on that kind of reality, it becomes a reality. And about a week and a half later, I saw my boss out cleaning his golf cart. And I've been doing it for so long, I just walked up to the guy and said, can I talk to you? He goes, yeah, what? I said, I deserve $400 a week. And I would like to have $400 a week. And he's like, really? I said, yes. That's exactly what I said to him. I deserve $400 a week. I said, but after 3 years, I said, I made $325, $350. I've been doing that for like the last 3 years. I said, I deserve $400. I work my ass off out here. I do everything. And he goes, well, everybody else does too. I didn't say anything because I was like, there were several people who don't. So I didn't say anything, and I think he knew what I was getting at because I didn't acknowledge him. I didn't sit there and say, yeah, you're right. I didn't say you're right. I wasn't focusing on them. That wasn't my intent. It wasn't the idea of using them as leverage to get what I want either because it doesn't work that way. That'll work against you quicker than anything else. What I said was, I even came back and said it again. I deserve $400 a week. He goes, well, how much do you make now? I said, $350. He goes, really? I said, yeah. He goes, he looked at me, he shook my hand, he said, okay, no problem. I said, I'll give you $400 a week. Boom. Just like that. And it was one of those things that, you know, there are certain techniques you can use to keep your mind in that positive mindset of what you're focusing on. So the ideal situation, you can do the same thing, writing in that journal of yours and just say, I am so happy and grateful for the nice, beautiful home we live in right now. We have a great neighborhood. We have great neighbors. The house is perfect. It's everything I wanted, everything I needed, and everything I desired, which has also improved on my relationship with everybody and anybody, even me and my significant other. Our lives have just been enhanced and more positive by this fantastic house that I have now. Thank you.
Which it has. That wouldn't be a lie. That's the truth, though. I mean,
that's
we
true.
Had a rocky.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, you take the same thing and just say, okay, it's like you're out looking about, you find this fantastic house you want. It's not the ideal folding, because when we found that one house, I mean, this is a huge house. It was 4 bedrooms, huge yard. I mean, it was just everything we wanted. It was the ideal saying I deserve it and allowing it to happen, not feeding anything, not sitting and go out. I was still getting my business off, and she had just started working a job in 2 days. We forgot all about that. This opportunity presented itself for a reason, because it crossed our paths, and we were in that house looking. So we just let everything unfold just like that. And the next thing you know, we moved in. I thought it was amazing. In my journal, I had written, I want the house I wanted. I also wanted the windows to slide sideways instead of sliding up. And what's so funny about this, in this house, the windows did slide sideways, but it was kind of amazing that I felt like certain things had taken a long time because of certain variations that needed to happen, like those windows. Those wasn't the original windows. And he had told me about it, they had just replaced those windows. So it was kind of funny, though, because you could also see the preparation of a lot of things that still need to be done. And then when they were done, the opportunity presented itself so that we're actually in that house. It had hardwood floors. It had a kitchen and a little area for a little kitchenette kind of thing. It had a big backyard. 3 kids was great. And then it was just the other room. There was one room in there that was like a little office, but she had a 5 or 6 year old kid. And I thought he always wanted his own room instead of getting an office for myself. It could have gone either way. It was amazing. Every room had a ceiling fan. Even the one master bedroom actually had a freaking bed. It had a king-size bed in it. It was either king or queen. And I thought it was just amazing. As you could just, I didn't realize, but you could actually vacuum those things off, put sheets on them like they're brand new. So it wasn't just the ideal. It was actually certain furniture was in the house that detailed. And I actually wanted to have a dining room I wanted a room with a bookshelf built in. And I was kind of amazed when I walked in the place. It had a built-in bookshelf. So don't be surprised what you can actually accomplish in the situation.
So I'm supposed to write, I like the house that we're in. I appreciate that I'm living in it. My kids and my fiancé and I are appreciate it. You know, everything's going good.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then write what I want.
Yeah, you said I'm happy and grateful for what I have in the process of opening the door for more. You could write an affirmation, as in go out and look for a house. If you find something you really want to move into that you really love, then you take that and write an affirmation and basically put it where you're actually already living in that place.
So when I write that and then it comes about, and I find something, and I just write like I'm in that, like I'm basically in that house.
Yeah. I mean, I've done this before too, where I ask my angels. I say, okay, angels, I feel you're giving me the prompting to move, or you're giving me the prompting to do something. I did this when I was living here the first time. I was trying to find, I didn't have a budget for furniture for my first shop that I actually got on my own, okay? So I was saying, I would set my intentions. I need a table and all this stuff for my shop, so therefore send me in the right direction. I have no budget, so therefore basically what I'm looking for is to obtain the furniture. You know, I didn't sit, you know, I'm sorry, but I guess when I said it, I said, okay, it'd be great to go someplace where they have tables that are, you know, I just want to find the table and, you know, put it out there, I have no budget. So the angels are like, okay, you have no budget, so therefore we're focusing on obtaining furniture that fits my needs. So send me in the right direction to find those places where it doesn't cost me anything because I don't have money to spend. So I was like, there was this place I used to go all the time. I was going to this plasma center. It was like one of those things I felt good about, giving plasma and giving blood and that kind of stuff. So I walked by this furniture place, and I had a little bit of prompting to go in the furniture place. So I went to the plasma center, did what I did, came back, got the prompting again. I said, okay, I'm getting a prompt to go in this furniture store. So I go in the furniture store. The tables in there that when I walk in, the first thing I see is these $200 tables, little coffee table stuff, right? So I'm like, okay, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, angels, you brought me in here. I know you brought me in here for a reason. so therefore, you know, keep me going. So I was, so I asked this lady, I said, you got these tables here, but do you have any other tables a little less expensive? And I'm thinking to myself, going, I have the money, so it doesn't matter if they're less expensive, you know. But I sit here and stop and said, no, we're not going to feed anything negative. Okay, fine, do you have any more tables? She goes, yes. So she takes me to a back room, which it's all the same thing. It's like all this like dining room stuff where they're showing all the furniture off. So she takes me to the other one. They're $100 tables. I'm sitting there going, $100 tables? I know you brought me in here for a reason. I turned around, and there's these tables in the corner. And I said, well, how much are those tables in the corner? She goes, oh, those are free. You can take as many as you want. And then I realized what they brought me in there for. I just had to go through the procedure. I just had to go, you know, let go of my own insecurities, realizing, okay, we see expensive tables, but they're still there in that expensive place, the tables I needed. So I had to let go of that logical part and allow them to direct me where I needed to go. We went to the back room, and I found these tables that fit perfectly in my shop. I even had people. I had a lady I used to work for. She actually gave me two chairs, and it was kind of amazing. Once you let go, the opportunities that came to me